Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be with you here tonight. What is the day today? Wednesday. With a less than amazing outcome in the Groyper Wars. For those of us who have not, who did not join us on DLive earlier, we just completed streaming the North Carolina State University Culture War event with Charlie Kirk. And if you have been watching my Twitter, if you've been watching what people have been saying, the outcome was less than spectacular. And that's what we'll be talking about tonight. We'll be going over what exactly happened. We'll go over tactics, questions, a little bit of an autopsy or a diagnostics might be a little bit better, and how we're going to move forward. But it's going to be a good show in spite of, perhaps some demoralization. I think we're going to keep the energy positive. We're going to keep the vibes good. And we're going to make it a good night. At least you'll enjoy the content. At least there's going to be a good show and a pretty funny stream for the most part in spite of this. But I guess we'll just dive right in. Before I do, though, I do just want to remind everybody that we will actually have one more opportunity with Turning Point USA. Of course, the YAF events, the Young Americas Foundation events, will continue through the next week or so. Through this week and next week. I don't know if they have events in 2 weeks, but that's Shapiro, that's Walsh, Knowles, all these characters. So we'll have more opportunities with YAF. We will have one more, it looks like one more opportunity with Turning Point USA. Charlie Kirk will be doing another event tomorrow at the University of Houston. I believe it starts at noon. Don't quote me on that. You can look up the information if you just Google Charlie Kirk, Prove Me Wrong Houston, or something like that. I think you'll find it on Eventbrite. Can get tickets, and please, please, if you're going to that event, if you plan on attending, please watch this show and take what I say seriously. You may have to pull an all-nighter, but we're going to have one more shot at Charlie Kirk here to, and I mean that rhetorically, to end things on a high note, one more opportunity to go off on a good note. So I hope that if you plan on attending tomorrow, you will watch this show, and after seeing what happened tonight, you will take it seriously. So I don't think all is lost. Even if we didn't have another opportunity, I think not all is lost. But, I mean, let's just be out with it. If you watched the stream on DLive, it did not go the way we had planned. I don't think that we enjoyed the outcome. If you were watching, I was cringing throughout. I think much of the audience was cringing throughout. And I've heard a lot of people try to say things like, oh, well, you know, they didn't stream it, so let's just pretend it didn't happen. Or some people are saying, well, you know, they cheated, or they're saying all kinds of things to cope. But you know what? I'll say this. The reason our movement is strong, the reason we have such a mass loyal following here on this show and in what we're doing is because we're honest. It's because we tell the truth. We don't use duplicitous tactics. We don't ignore things. We bring them to the light, and that makes us stronger. So I'll say at the outset that I think the only way to overcome what we saw tonight is to embrace it head on. It's not going to be pretty, but we have to look at what went wrong tonight, analyze it, and we can figure out a way to adapt. And I think it's very simple. I think it's really very simple. So I hope you'll stick with me. I hope you're not too demoralized. I'll say that although tonight didn't go the way that we wanted to, although it wasn't the outcome we preferred, I'll say, after saying that we should take an L gracefully tonight, I don't think it was a victory for us. I think we should concede that, basically. And to cope, I think, signals weakness. I don't think we need to cope. I think we've had 4 weeks of victories. I think we have many victories ahead of us. And in a war, you win. And if you lose one time, then consider it a great war, right? If we've had how many battles? Over a dozen battles over the last 4 weeks. And we lost one night, and I hope it doesn't sound like coping. It's not the end of the world. So, you know, all this kind of stuff about, well, it's not so bad, or we could ignore it, or whatever. I don't think we need to engage in this. I think given who we are, what we've been doing, how little we have used, or how little resources we've used to such great effect, and we've drawn so much blood, I don't think we need to do that. I think we can honestly say tonight it didn't go as planned, but tomorrow we'll have another event, and the next day we'll have another event, and so on. So we're going to engage with it. All that said, I don't think it was a huge and total catastrophe. You know, I see some people in the live chat during the stream, oh, I'm black-pilled again, this is terrible, whatever. And I'll admit, it wasn't pretty, it wasn't a fun time after 4 weeks of Joker dancing and all the rest, but I don't think it was as disastrous as everybody or some people have been saying on the stream. You know, and I tweeted out right before the show, it's not even exactly a victory for Charlie Kirk. Well, we can say that maybe we took the L. I don't think this was exactly a huge victory for Charlie Kirk. Certainly he was able to maybe halt our advances, maybe he was able to turn us back. I would say this is the first effective countermeasure, or the first truly effective counterattack since this whole thing started. And think about it. We've been at this for 4 weeks. They've tried dismissing us, smearing us, blacklisting us, doxing us, trying to deplatform us, cutting streams, manipulating lines. I mean, they've tried everything in the book, and it took them 4 weeks to figure out a tactic that was somewhat effective, where Charlie Kirk didn't get humiliated at his own event during his own Q&A. Now, can we say that's a huge victory? In a certain sense, a night like tonight was sorely needed for Charlie Kirk, sorely needed for Turning Point USA. Because how do they explain to their donors, and how do people who support this organization, people inside the organization, how do they explain to themselves or their superiors why a band of, you know, what, a decentralized movement, a band of groypers, a band of internet people mobilized by me on this show, completely decentralized, completely spontaneous, how we have been able to routinely rout and embarrass these people at their own events, even in spite of all their countermeasures, all their money, all the smears which have been ineffective. So I don't want it to sound a certain way, but, you know, let's put things in their proper perspective. You know, maybe we didn't win tonight. You could say that maybe we lost. But Charlie Kirk surviving a Q&A at his own event after 4 weeks of brutality. And by the way, I don't think he came out of this looking great himself either. And I'll get to that towards the end. It's not like this was an effortless victory on his part, right? I mean, there were some good questions by us that I think landed some blows. There were moments during this Q&A where we had most of the room chanting in our favor. The times that he maybe did score a point on us, it was only half the crowd. You know, so to get half your own crowd at your own event, at your own Turning Point event, where you control the microphone, cheering for your ideology after yelling and asking the questioner questions, interrogating, doing all these underhanded things. I mean, we can say that we didn't win, but can we really say that Charlie Kirk came out of this looking like the great hero, Groypers defeated? I think that's probably not true either. So, but we'll get into it. Of course, what am I talking about? Tonight, Charlie Kirk was at the North Carolina State University to do what is really a kind of officially one of the final events of his culture war tour. We've been covering this. We've been showing up at these events for the past 4 weeks. Tonight was his last speech in the evening. Like I said, tomorrow he'll be doing a Q&A event in the afternoon, but these have been relatively minor events compared to the evening primetime events where he does a monologue and does a Q&A. So we've been doing these things for 4 weeks. We've been showing up to the Q&A. We've been asking our questions. And every event that we've attended so far in Colorado, New Hampshire, Iowa, California, Ohio, and Florida yesterday, the tactic by Charlie Kirk has been simply to dismiss the questions. And if you've been following this, if you've been watching, last night he tried to fight back a little bit. But generally speaking, for the last 4 weeks, the tactics have been very slow to change on Charlie Kirk's part. Of course, our tactic, and it is tactics, it is sort of, you know, what does Clausewitz say, that war is the extension of politics by other means? Kind of corny, like poli-sci gay stuff, but I mean, you understand that there are tactics and strategies, and we are thinking about rhetoric and how this is affecting people's perceptions, right? And so our tactic has been to show up to these Q&As, and the frame is this. We are the real conservatives. We are the America First conservatives. We are the real inheritors, the real vanguards of what Trump started in 2016, which maybe has been led astray by grifters like Charlie Kirk or people in his administration. We're young, we're Christians, we're the real conservatives, and we're simply here to ask our questions. You know, that has always been the frame. And it's been very successful because we understand that because of the way Charlie Kirk's organization operates, he cannot even discuss the topics we're talking about, much less engage in very defensible or strong answers. He can't even say some of the things, repeat some of the questions we're asking. So he's relied almost entirely on dismissing them, pivoting from them. And that's really how it's played out for the past 4 weeks with Turning Point USA in particular. We've been able to get by, I think, without really having a strong idea of you know, laying out arguments and things like this, because Charlie Kirk has been dismissing and smearing and relying on all these sort of tactics, everything other than engaging the questions, I think we have gotten away, basically. We've been allowed maybe to get lazy or complacent with these sort of drive-by shots, which you know, if you've been watching the Super Chats, I've been criticizing these. And I don't like to say I told you so. I know the people are on the front lines and they're the ones asking the questions, and I get that. But this is something I've been saying. If you've been watching the show, you can't say that I haven't. That we've been getting lazy with these sort of drive-by snipes, and that they've been effective only because we'll get somebody up there asking a question, and Charlie Kirk, because he dismisses it or ignores it or uses some other underhanded way to evade the question, we're able to land these blows without a real engagement with the other side, without actually having to engage in a debate. So that's how it's been for 4 weeks. Tonight it was different. It was a big tactics change on the part of Charlie Kirk. As I said, we've been doing these questions, and they have tried their best to make it seem like our questions are unserious, or the people asking them are bad people, or just physically trying to prevent people from getting in line to ask them, trying to prevent people from seeing the questions asked by shutting down streams. You know, so like I said, all the tactics up to this point have been just simply evading. If they do ask the questions, well, nobody will see them because we're not streaming them. If they show up to the event, well, they won't be in line to ask their question because we'll check their IDs and we'll put people in front of them. Well, if they do ask the question, we'll just pivot and talk about something else. And so that has been the modus operandi. Tonight, Charlie Kirk just simply engaged with them. And he engaged with the questions aggressively, some might say in a maybe mean-spirited way, but it was effective. And I think we do have to give the Groypers that were there tonight a little bit of, we have to be a little charitable with them tonight, because this was the first time that we saw a real break in the strategy. Like I said, whereas for the past 4 weeks, it was non-engagement, it was very passive, it was just kind of taking these questions. Tonight, he gave feedback and he fought back very aggressively. He was very defensive. I could say he was intimidating, bullying our people. And you know what? I don't think we could say foul, that's not fair, whatever, because that's the game. So I think maybe people showed up to this event tonight and, you know, like I said, the questions, I'll just be straight up about it, they were not good. The questions were not framed good. The people delivering them did not deliver them effectively. When Charlie Kirk gave them pushback, they were not prepared to respond. They were not prepared for counterfire. And I will temper that by saying that given what we've seen in the past 4 weeks, maybe other questioners made it look easy. Because it's not an easy thing to confront somebody at their own event when they have the microphone and they're on the stage. For a lot of people that aren't familiar with this stuff to begin with, it's easy for me to debate Charlie Kirk because I do extemporaneous political speaking every night. And as such, I hear these arguments on a daily basis. I engage with them on a daily basis. I talk to a large audience on a daily basis. So you look at the public speaking element, you think about the familiarity with the arguments and the issues. It's a difficult thing. You can get flustered easily. Now, that's no excuse for not preparing, but I will say that it's a challenging thing. People before, I think, made it look easy. Charlie Kirk changed his tactics and lashed out very aggressively, very hard. And so in some sense, you could say that some of these Groypers could be forgiven to an extent for not totally being ready for what we saw tonight. That said, there has to be some culpability. You know, there's no glory without the risk. And what is the risk? That something like tonight happens. So it's not that we don't want to shame those people too hard. They were courageous. They stepped up to the plate. They were in the arena. And people that are not in the arena, I don't think can countersignal people that are. That said, as somebody that is in the arena, I'll say when we show up tomorrow or show up to these other events for the rest of the week or the next week, we got to do better. We just simply have to do better. It's not the end of the world. You're not a bad person, but you've got to prepare. You've got to listen. And I know a lot of people have been, it's very exciting. It's all this, but maybe we needed this to an extent. We got a little high on our own supply. Maybe people got carried away. They thought they'd waltz into Charlie Kirk headquarters, blast them with an Israel question, do a little drive-by shot. I don't care. Nick said we can't do drive-bys. Nick says we can't do these Israel questions. Well, I think we're going to win. I'm totally white-pilled. Maybe this was a little bit of a wake-up call, reality check, and hopefully people will be humbled by this and remember that, again, we really have to be effective here. So again, I don't want to totally throw those guys under the bus, but it is just more of a teachable moment. So they were courageous. They stepped up to the plate. But next time, we're going to have to do a little bit better. We're going to have to expect a little bit more. And we'll get into all the questions. We'll get into the arguments, some of the trickery and everything. I'll say also, some people are saying, well, You know, it's one step back, two steps forward kind of a thing. And I think that's true. It's a much broader conflict. It's been going on for a long time. It will continue for years, I think. You know, the Groyper thing is just getting started. So it's not to say that everything is over, but I would caution against this mentality that we shouldn't take tonight seriously or understand the gravity of it. Something to keep in mind is that, again, this is a totally unfair fight. And I don't say that as somebody that's complaining. I say that as somebody that recognizes the reality of the situation and the kind of attitude that it takes to win. In the sense that I'm not saying, oh, it's so unfair and, wow, like, we, Charlie Kirk cheated or whatever. But it is to say that we can't afford, we cannot absorb the same amount of losses that Turning Point can. Turning Point has been losing for 4 weeks. Turning Point has been humiliated at every event that they've done for 4 weeks, right? We've been coming into their events and just eating their lunch, drinking their milkshake, you know? And so they can absorb them because they have billionaire donors. They've got everybody in DC in their pocket, right? And so to be attacked by us for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, even if their counterattacks aren't effective and so on, they can absorb these losses because they have a huge infrastructure advantage, huge donor advantage. You know, in a sense, they are playing defense. They have a very delicate thing that they're trying to protect. And we can knock it off. I mean, we can really disrupt their gravy train, their apple cart, right? Kind of mixing analogies here. We can disrupt their very fragile thing if we are smart and if we're prudent. So they are playing defense. There are some advantages to this, or rather some disadvantages, but there also are some advantages. The disadvantage is that it's fragile. The disadvantage is that they do have, they're sort of spread out. They do have these soft targets. They do have to defend their ideology. That said, all they have to do is play defense. You know, Charlie Kirk doesn't have to win hearts and minds because he's on Fox News, right? Because he has a huge platform. He has moneyed people. He has all the influencers on his payroll, right? And I'm not saying this in a salty way. I'm saying this in a completely analytical way. So all he has to do is survive a night like tonight. Like, I don't think he came off looking great. I think we definitely didn't look good, but I don't think he looked great either. At the bare minimum, you could say that his event was out of control. You could say that people were there trying to disrupt him. You could say that a lot of the questions weren't really compelling. He shut down a lot of people. He came off looking kind of nasty and angry. That's not to say that he didn't need this tonight, and because of what's been going on for 4 weeks, it couldn't be seen as a subjective or a relative win. But it is to say that that's really all he needs to do, is to meet this very low bar for survival. Well, if he stopped the onslaught of the Groypers, he gave, you know, sufficient passable answers to these questions. Well, you know what? That's good enough, because he's got all these other influencers, all this media, all this money behind him. And so when we think about a loss, I think, for us like tonight, we can't take a lot of these. A movement like ours already has enough disadvantages. It's already unfair enough. Losses start stacking up, that's problematic. That's not to say that they're going to. They don't have to. You know, tonight was obviously the anomaly. We've been winning for 4 weeks. We had one bad night. It's just a caution against a mentality that, oh, big deal. Oh, okay, we can pretend it didn't happen. No. We will lose if that's a mentality. We have to look at what happened tonight and make sure it never happens again. We can only afford one or two nights like this before people say, oh, you know, these guys are exactly what all the media is saying they are, which is unserious, and their ideas are bad, and so on. And so that's why it's important for me tonight to kind of do, I guess it's damage control. I don't like that phrase, but to show you that these arguments are defeatable. You know, Charlie Kirk, we've been routing him for 4 weeks, and even the defense that he put up tonight, it was an ambush. He caught us off guard. He basically staged this whole thing, right? In the sense that it's sort of like a ringer. It's like the rope-a-dope, you know? He was leaning against the ropes. He was taking all our hits for 4 weeks, like Muhammad Ali. And then, it's not really a perfect analogy because George Foreman's much bigger than Muhammad Ali. But, you know, he's been taking hits against the rope, and he's been waiting for us to get lazy, waiting for us to get complacent, perhaps. I don't know if this was planned, but this is how it worked out. And then once he saw an opening, oh, he came back with a very effective counterattack, and I think we weren't expecting it. So I'll say that there was this element of an ambush, but you got to remember who we're dealing with here. Charlie Kirk is not a smart person. And I don't say that simply because we're fighting him. I say that because he's just not a very smart person. You know, maybe he's gifted in the sense of organizing, you know, organizational capacity, organizing events, and I don't know, accepting money from Scientologists and Zionists. Like, maybe he's gifted at that. I don't know. But when you look at the way that he argues, this is not somebody who is a master of the facts. He's not really in control of the conversation. If he were not on the stage holding the microphone and one of his minions was holding the microphone for us, I don't think, if it was a more symmetrical and equal playing field, there was some reciprocity, I don't think he could really hold his own very effectively. But we do have to account for these advantages. So he's not very smart. His ideas aren't good. They're wrong. His arguments tonight were not very compelling. If you're really listening and it wasn't just sort of this proxy battle where it's like, cheer for your guy, cheer for our guy, you know, I don't think anybody would really be swayed by these arguments, but it's the first time that he's made counter-arguments. So tonight, I think I'm going to look at some of these questions. We're going to break down the arguments, and we're going to break down the tactics later on, and we'll hopefully evolve from this. But I hope people are watching the show, and they're paying attention. And more than anything, I hope if there's Groypers coming tomorrow to Houston, or if they're going to other events this week or next week, I hope you realize that from now on, quality over quantity. We've shown that we're everywhere. We've buried them. That's good. Now that they're using these counterattacks, we need people that are going to be able to deliver effective blows. Like, I'll take that guy yesterday at Florida University, that guy that did the question where he's wearing the yarmulke and the Bernie shirt or whatever. And he said, you know, why should we support you? Because he was quick. He was with it. The question was perfectly framed and so on. Framed even in terms of the optics. I mean, this was a really well thought out thing. I would take one or two of those at every event going forward, as opposed to, you know, 10 of what we saw tonight. And I don't want to say that in a mean way, but just look, we're fighting. We have to put our egos aside. We have to do what's best for the team, for the Groyper movement, right? So moving forward, if you think that you're going to choke, if you think that this isn't for you, I'm not confident that I'm going to be able to get up to the microphone and deliver what I need to say, I think you might want to rethink it. You know, and a lot of people, the incentive is there. I want to humiliate Charlie Kirk. I want to get retweeted. I want the dopamine. I want the shout out. You got to put that aside. If you're not able to execute, yeah, you're going to make us look bad. And you don't want to make the whole movement fail because, you know, you wanted a little dopamine, whatever, right? So I think everybody agrees on this. But we'll go through these questions. You know, the first question to me was, this was the worst one. This was the biggest ambush. And just about everything that could have went wrong with this question went wrong. The person came up, and this questioner wasn't even totally bad. The first guy that came up to ask the question, I don't think he didn't do very much wrong. I think he was basically on point. He came up and he said, I'm a father, I'm a Christian, I believe in America first. He said, you know, your organization put out a statement yesterday at Florida State, which you might have seen, or University of Florida. And in the statement, it said that, oh, the event was sabotaged by evil white nationalists. They're evil. Groypers are evil. They're terrible, whatever. And so he said, well, you put out the statement and you said that people like me are evil white nationalists. He said, are you going to call me evil? And then I think he asked a follow-up question about me or something. I kind of forgot the exact wording of it. And the question was kind of good. Charlie Kirk launched back with a question of his own, you know, and this is the first tactical mistake, which is, and I think I said this yesterday very briefly, so you'd be forgiven if you aren't prepared for this, but you have to force him to answer the question. It's a Q&A. He's there to answer your questions. You are not there to be asked questions. Generally speaking, I think if you find yourself in this situation and you cannot engage, you have to just stick to the script. Answer my question. I'm here to ask questions. Answer my question. I'm not a public figure. I don't run Turning Point USA. You are. Answer my question. So either if you feel confident enough to engage, engage. But if you don't think you're up to the task, then you're going to have to just say, you know what? I'm here to ask questions and you're here to answer them. But at the bare minimum, don't let him pivot. Don't let him obfuscate. And that's exactly what happened. He was answering questions with questions. So the first guy came up and said, well, are you going to call me evil? And it was a very well-formulated question. Unfortunately, he let it get away because Charlie Kirk came back with, well, do you know what Identity Europa is? And at that point, you should have said, no, answer my question. That takes the wind right out of his sails. No, I don't know what that is. Can you answer my question? And if he says, no, you answer my question, say, no, I'm here to ask and you're here to answer. Answer my question. And don't let him bully you on this. Don't let him move you on this. He's on the stage. Remember, he's on the stage and you're in the audience. Again, there's some advantages to being on stage. You're in control of the microphone. You're, in a sense, in control logistically of the conversation. But you also are on the hot seat. You're also the one that everybody's looking at. So if it comes down to a stalemate of, No, you answer my question. No, you answer my question. Don't feel bad about that. I know people might feel awkward. They might feel insecure and feel the need to answer. They might feel, because I know how these social dynamics work. When it gets into a contentious back and forth like this, there is sort of this internal pressure of, I might as well just answer. You cannot let him overpower you in that sense because, again, he's on the stage. So if it comes down to a stalemate of you answer, no, you answer, by the virtue of the fact that he's on the stage, he's looking like the idiot. You know, if it comes down to this, nobody's answering the question, well, who's on the stage? Whose event is it? So don't be afraid if it turns into something that looks pedantic or ridiculous. You don't look ridiculous. You're a patriot asking a question. He's there to field them. So that's a little note on the tactic. But Charlie Kirk comes back with, well, do you know what Identity Europa is? This was a back and forth. Again, I don't know the exact quotes here, but the guy basically said, like, no, I don't know what that is. What does that have to do with my question? He actually did okay. So he answered my question. And so they went back and forth on this. Charlie Kirk says, Identity Europa is this neo-Nazi organization, blah, blah, blah. And this is where it went so wrong. And this is where our Goypers fell right into the trap, played right into his hands. Charlie Kirk said, does anybody in this line support Identity? And he kept mispronouncing it. He kept calling it Identity Yevropa, because he's an idiot. He says, does anybody in this line support Identity Yevropa? And of course, invariably, we had one Groiper dutifully raise his hand and say, yes, I will defend Identity Europa. And he saunters up to the microphone to collect his dopamine, to collect his attention. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to read into it his motivations. You know, maybe you're in the heat of the moment, whatever, but this was the worst thing that you could possibly do. You allowed Charlie Kirk first to pivot from the question and then pivot from the person asking the question because Charlie Kirk didn't like the back and forth that he was getting. He wanted somebody at that microphone to defend Identity Europa. He completely controlled the frame, completely misdirected it. It went from a guy who said, I'm a father, I'm a Christian, and you're calling me evil, to Charlie Kirk asking the question that he wanted to ask. The Q&A is not Charlie Kirk asking Groypers questions. It's Groypers asking Charlie Kirk questions. So it went from, hi, I have a question about, you know, the statement you put out, to Charlie Kirk saying, I want somebody in the line to defend Identity Europa. I want to ask somebody in the line who defends Identity Europa. And playing into that is the worst thing you could possibly do. Reframe the question, and you brought somebody forward who's going to defend something very stupid. If Charlie Kirk is asking you to step up to the microphone, do not step up to the microphone. He's doing that for a reason. He is trying to pivot. Understand, and you know, again, because we're the truth tellers and we care about the facts, Identity Europa doesn't exist. So Charlie Kirk, understand what he's doing here. It's very deliberate. He's trying to paint everybody in that line, and this is, you know, I guess piggybacking on what Ben Shapiro did last week. The tactic is still to smear, the overarching strategy is to smear all of these questioners as alt-right. To smear everybody as alt-right. So what is the closest proximity to the alt-right? Regrettably, it's Patrick Casey, who leads AIM. Patrick Casey was at a time in Identity Europa. Now that said, Identity Europa doesn't exist anymore. But Charlie Kirk's strategy is, well, if I can tie these Groypers to this guy who's talking about them, who was in Identity Europa, you know, a year ago, and Identity Europa was connected to people in the alt-right, well, it's like 5 degrees of separation. I can say legitimately, oh, they're just more of the same. They're trolls. Disregard them. Got something in my sleeve here. So that's that strategy at play. So when he says defend Identity Europa, what he's saying is, I want a Groiper to come here and validate my conspiracy theory that everyone here is part of the alt-right. Everyone here is part of a hate movement. You know, because our job here is not to rehabilitate Identity Europa. Our job is to talk about America first. If we're talking about the alt-right and Identity Europa, we lose. We don't win that conversation. There is no winning that conversation. We win when we talk about the issues. We lose when we talk about, like Grandpa Groiper did, David Duke. We lose when we talk about, you know, things like that. We're winning when we're talking about mass immigration, demographic change, Christian values, dual loyalty, dual allegiance, things like this. So this guy dutifully comes up, oh, hi, Charlie Kirk. Yes, I will defend. He might as well have said, hey, can anyone defend neo-Nazis? Yeah, I will. I know that's not what he said, but it might as well have been the case. And so Charlie Kirk said, Identity Europa is a neo-Nazi group trying to take over the government. Well, they don't exist. That's not what they were when they did exist. That wasn't their goal when they did exist. But fundamentally, none of this matters. Everybody in the line should have just said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. What is Identity Europa? That sounds really weird. I have no idea what you're talking about. And you want to know why? Because nobody in the audience knows what he's talking about. It's just like Ben Shapiro's speech last week. For him to go up and read off the cookie question joke, nobody in the audience knows what that means. You don't have to sit there and defend that. Play dumb. Oh, Identity Europa, what's that? Is that like, is that some kind of, what did Sam Hyde say? You know, Joe Bernstein says, are you a member of the alt-right? What is that, some kind of indie bookstore? We have no idea what that is, right? That's because if you acknowledge that, you allow him to change the frame. And he's in a position to do that because he controls a microphone. So that's a word on tactics. That's a word on the question. Guy saunters up and Charlie Kirk says, do you believe in a white ethnostate? Guy, thankfully, said no. Because we don't. Nobody in our movement. So even though this was like probably the worst question of the whole thing. I mean, this engagement was the worst of the whole Groyper War. Even still, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. That he said, are you alt-right? Are you, supporter of a white ethnostate? He said no. Thank God he said that. And he said that because it's true. You could pick any random person out of the Groypers and they'll say no because that's not what we support. But he's trying to go, don't you see? He says, well, then why do you care do you care about the country becoming minority white? And this guy who defended Identity Europa comes up and says, yes. Charlie Kirk says, why? He says, because I don't want to become a minority in my own country. Now, all things considered, that was a decent exchange. That was a pretty okay exchange. To say that you care, to say that you don't want to be a minority, it's a little bit questionable optically. It's a little bit questionably. Sounds a little 1.0 type stuff or 2.0 type stuff. But, I don't think that was the worst way to handle that. That said, then he tries to bring out Charlie Kirk says, well, do you believe to be an American, you have to have white skin? And the guy brings up the 1790 Immigration Act. That's the wrong way to take it. That's the wrong place to go. If you're going to go there, it has to be under the guise of hypocrisy. Well, Charlie Kirk, if you oppose people defining immigration by skin color, what about the founding fathers that did such and such? That has to be the angle. But we are not ethno-nationalists. We are not white nationalists. So bringing up the 1790 Immigration Act, other than to show that Charlie Kirk would call the founding fathers white nationalists, is not a useful piece. We have to sort of flush out a lot of this, 3-4-year-old mimetic stuff that doesn't really work in this setting. Again, remember, we're concerned about mass immigration. We're presenting persuasive optical arguments. This is neither persuasive nor optical. It is a red herring. You're allowing him to define the conversation. So, generally, to unpack this whole first question, I would say we know nothing about the alt-right. We don't want anything to do with the alt-right. If he even brings that up, it just has to be such a denial of this. You can't even engage with this because he's not engaging in good faith. He's not having an honest conversation. He's not seeking common ground. He's not curious about your views. And when he asked, do you support a white ethnostate? That is a disingenuous, dishonest question designed to make you look a certain way. He's trying to make you a target. He's trying to make you look like a Nazi. He's trying to say, this guy hates minorities and he should be doxxed and whatever. That's what Dan Crenshaw said. That's what they're trying to do. So if they try anything that sounds like it was remotely connected to the alt-right, Seville, you just have to shut that down right away. I will not engage on this. I don't know what you're talking about. We are America first. And that has to be the end of that story. Cannot engage on that. Because they have control of the frame on this, he's on the stage, and they have control of the media, that is what they want so bad for us to look like. So you just cannot engage with those kinds of questions. It also, if anybody actually cares about the truth, if they actually watch the show, we are not alt-right. We do not support a white ethnostate. We do not believe that skin color defines America. We believe, as Patrick Buchanan said, race is not everything, but it isn't nothing. And what we're talking about is not whether or not you define an American based on their skin color. We're talking about should the country pursue radical demographic change in the span of 50 years. That's the question. So Charlie Kirk wants to reframe it as, well, who's American? Am I only American if I'm white? That's really not what we're talking about. We're talking about is very particular to our time and to our country. Why do we have mass legal immigration from third world countries? Why does Donald Trump think we should take people from Scandinavia and not people from Haiti? That's the frame. So for him to say, oh, it's about a white ethnostate or what makes an American skin color, that is a dishonest diversion. So we have to shut that down. Cannot let him. And there are so many lessons here. Don't let him answer a question with a question. If you're not able to answer him, don't let him interrogate you. You're not there to be interrogated. If he asks somebody to defend something, he is probably doing that for a reason. Do not offer up a defense of it. Do not cut in on another person in the line. I mean, there's so many lessons in here, but he completely controlled the frame, and that's where it fell apart. You know, there's ways to get around this stuff, but I mean, that was not the way to go about it. And like I said, the argument here is just wrong. What he is doing is trying to tie us to something wrong. He smeared Identity Europa in a way that the SPLC doesn't even do. Again, for people that care about the facts, Identity Europa doesn't exist. It has not existed, I think, for like 9 or 10 months. When it did exist, they were not neo-Nazis. This was not how they identified themselves. It's not even how the media identified them. They were a white identitarian movement, which you might not like, but they're not neo-Nazis. And lastly, their goal was not to have a neo-Nazi takeover of the government. So again, you as a questioner do not want to engage in this. Me, as somebody who wants to correct the record here, for people to see what a dishonest liar this guy is, none of what he said about that is true, and nobody in this organization, we don't even have an organization, nobody in our movement, none of the Groypers identify with that group. It doesn't exist. So for people that still care about the truth here, these arguments are not even correct. So that was the first question. The second question was about white unemployment. Somebody came up and said, you know, well, Trump talks about black unemployment and Hispanic unemployment. Why doesn't he talk about white unemployment? This is not a great question. I don't believe I've ever told anybody to ask this one, and for good reason, because it's not even really a great talking point. What is the expectation of the answer from Charlie Kirk? Are we supposed to say, I don't understand? The premise is basically, why are white people not pandered to? It's sort of an electoral argument. If Trump wants to win an election, why not pander to his base? 90% of Trump voters in 2016 were white. So why doesn't he care about the interests of white people in the Midwest? You know, things that matter to white people. You know, maybe that's where you're going with it. I still think it's, I don't know if it's the best strategically, but there's a better way to frame it. This unemployment thing is just kind of like a cheap meme. It's very cheap rhetoric. It's one of these drive-bys I said the other day. Thoughts? Well, you talk about black unemployment, but not white unemployment. Thoughts? There's not, what really follows from this, it's not tight. It's not really, in terms of rhetoric, pointing a good strategic direction. Charlie Kirk answers by saying, well, what you're getting at is that white people have a predisposition to vote Republican. Wrong! Wrong! That's not the point of asking that question. That is not the point of asking that question. But the questioner says, like, well, yes. Do not let him answer a question with a question. Reframe it in a way that you do not intend for the question to be framed. Well, if that's the case, if whites are predisposed to vote Republican, then why do the top three whitest states vote for Democrats? New Hampshire, Vermont, and one other. And I forget what the third one was. This is dishonest. And let's just stop and pause for a moment why this argument is ridiculous. That the three whitest states voted for Trump, it does not follow then that Republicans should ignore their base. Like I said, 90% of Trump voters, 90% of Trump's base in 2016 was white. So notwithstanding that three of the whitest states voted Democrats, I don't really see how that follows. If 90% of your voting voting block is a certain way, I don't think it matters like which states with the highest proportion voted a certain way. Do you understand why that's not really, one does not follow from the other? You want to pander to your voters. If your voters are white people, you should probably respect them. You should probably want to advance their interests in some sense, or at least pretend like they exist, like they have legitimate interests. You know, so the argument is totally dishonest. Beyond that, he says, well, New Hampshire went for Democrats. Well, there you have to draw a little bit of a line, because New Hampshire, we lost by a hair. And I know people who worked in the New Hampshire campaign, because I worked in the New Hampshire campaign, who tell me that we won New Hampshire, but the Democrats cheated this in the North because our guys weren't, monitoring the polls properly or something like this. In any case, we lost by a very slim fraction of the vote. It's not really fair to say that New Hampshire was like, oh, it was overwhelmingly Democrat. That means white people don't vote Republican. None of this really makes any sense once you scrutinize it, but I guess somebody gets to the microphone, they lose their frame, they get flustered, and then they don't have an argument, you know? And he ended up looking very bad, regrettably. He said, well, Republicans should pander to the white working class, blah, blah, blah. I forget exactly the exchange, but he did not look good. He kind of played right into Charlie Kirk's hands on that one, but the argument's wrong. The third question was some very unoptical question about the gay stuff. He said, you have had, and again, tone is everything. The tone is not angry. That is the exact opposite of what we want. We do not want people going there screaming. We do not want people going there angry, pissed off, because again, it plays into this archetype. It plays into the stereotype, which they would be all too delighted for us to play into, which is of the unhinged, fringe, lunatic, alt-right guy. So I know we have righteous indignation about what's going on. I get that. I get that more than anybody. You see, I get a little hot on the show, but it's a little different when it's a show, when, you know, it's trying to be compelling and it's entertainment and all the rest. But when you're trying to portray yourself as, I'm an America First student asking a question, wearing a rosary, I'd just like to ask you a few questions. The tone should not be a chimp out. It should not be angry and, I'm you know, whatever. The tone should be inquisitive. At the very least, it should be dismissive about who Charlie Kirk is and what he's about. So the tone was all wrong. He said, you know, you have Lady MAGA at your events and you promote homosexuality and transsexuality, and who's to say that you won't be supporting Drag Queen Story Hour in five years? This argument is one I use on the show. It was really not elaborated well on this question. Again, please write your questions, rehearse them if you can, check with somebody. I haven't been able to respond to everybody who's been sending emails saying, you know, revise my question, but if you can get Patrick Casey to look over it, if you can get Vince James to look over it, any one of these people, that would be preferable. And when you do ask a question, deliver it in a way that is calm, reasonable, you know, you want to be likable, presentable, and moreover, get your facts right. This guy said, you host Lady MAGA at your events. Charlie Kirk has never hosted Lady MAGA at his events. And so it's little things like this that can delegitimize you. If Charlie Kirk can say, oh, well, you're wrong about that, it's sort of like if you get in a flame war on Facebook, in the Facebook comments, and you make a typo. Oh, well, you made a typo. You're an idiot. I mean, it's game over. It's these little totally avoidable missteps that can delegitimize you and kill you. So, well, I never had Lady MAGA up. Well, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but if you get that wrong already, you know, you've lost the logos, so to speak, right? Or the what element of debate is it? Not the logos like E. Michael Jones, but you've lost that element of persuasion. You look not credible, right? And that's the other one, right? What is it? Logos, pathos, and you lost your ethos, I think is what it is. So you don't look credible if you don't have your facts straight. Charlie Kirk retorted and said, well, Lady MAGA isn't at our events. And he said, what would you do with homosexuals? Total reframing. We're saying we don't want you to promote homosexuality as normal. And he says, what would you do with homosexuals? It's a complete reframing. He says, what about Rob Smith, Guy Benson, Peter Thiel? Would you say they should be all kicked out of the movement? Again, it's a total reframing. We're not saying any particular person should be kicked out of the movement. We're not saying we should do anything with homosexuals. We're saying, why as a Christian do you promote homosexuality? Why are you trying to normalize homosexuality, right? And in the case of Peter Thiel, he's maybe the exception here. Peter Thiel, I'm pretty sure, was very on the down low about this. He was not one of these say it loud, say it proud guys. He got outed, I'm pretty sure, by BuzzFeed, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not like even him as a homosexual is promoting this as something good and normal or anything. If anything, I think he was trying to play it very low-key, close to the chest, right? Whereas Rob Smith and Guy Benson are a little different. But in any case, you cannot make it about specific people, and also you should allow him to reframe. Why as a Christian do you think it's okay to promote homosexuality? Press him on what he said tonight. Christianity is about open-mindedness. Christianity is what did he say? Jesus Christ hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes. Well, he hung out with people that were repentant sinners. You know, he didn't hang out with people that were openly promoting and normalizing homosexuality. These are minor details, but we're going to have to really rework the rhetoric on this one. It's clearly not effective. Moreover, a lot of young people are on the side of homosexuals. So you have to really hit hard, not so much on antipathy or the disgust factor for deviancy, but on the Christian angle. You know, maybe the way we rework this is not, you know, coming off like I have a problem with homosexuals, because I don't know if that's a winning issue for this generation. I think, unfortunately, that's just true. In that frame, the frame should be, why are Christians who don't like homosexuals or don't like homosexuality being normalized, why are we unwelcome? Why did Benny Johnson say that a Christian who is not okay with homosexual marriage, why did he call him a new Westboro Baptist Church kid? That has to be the angle. It's not, we don't like these guys. It has to be, why are you attacking Christians? That's a clean way to reframe it. But again, you're letting the frame go. Fourth question was about the USS Liberty. Some veteran came up, and it was great that he was a vet. He got a standing ovation, but then he went off the goop and he starts going off about the USS Liberty. It sounded, again, sort of unhinged, sort of angry. We have to be picky about these things because they do matter. You know, oh, well, what do you have to say to the veterans that survived the USS Liberty? And Charlie Kirk said, well, I don't think it was deliberate and blah, blah, blah. And this guy kept interrupting Charlie Kirk. He came off as, you know, some people, they get to the microphone and it engages their flight or fight response. And they go into this weird sort of panic where they're a little agitated, little froggy, so to speak. So he was very quick to jump in. He did not come off very good. And even though he got Charlie Kirk attacking a veteran and kind of belittling him and being rude, I don't think it was a great look. Because the questioner came off as unhinged, it didn't have the same effect, you know? And again, why are we asking questions still about the USS Liberty? We've done that before. We've asked that question. It was funny the first time. It was funny the second time. It was funny the third time. It's not funny anymore. It's not funny anymore. You know, it's a joke that becomes a drag is a drag. If it drags on for too long, it's a drag. It's not fun. Nobody enjoys it. And it wasn't even a joke. If you remember the original question about the USS Liberty, it wasn't, Google the USS Liberty. The question wasn't even about the USS Liberty. Kay Alexander, who asked the first question, said, why do we give foreign aid to Israel when, you know, there are poor countries that get a lot less aid than Israel? Countries way poorer than Israel, you know, countries in the Caribbean and Africa and South America that collectively get less than Israel does. And also when they're not a reliable ally. They spy on us, they attack the Liberty. So if you remember, the first question wasn't, Liberty. It was, why do we give money to Israel when they do things like X, Y, and Z? It was a cogent, well-framed question and one that was difficult to respond with, or for Charlie Kirk to respond to. It wasn't Google the USS Liberty. Moreover, so the Liberty in itself is not a winning issue. I know some people aren't going to like to hear that. They're going to say that's cucking. I'm not saying that it's not relevant, but it's relevant in context. Of course, the context of the Liberty is that Israel is not a reliable ally. It is under that tree of that argument. So using that as an example to serve the argument, well, Israel is not our friend, Israel is not our closest ally, undermining the credibility of people that support Israel, it works. But, you know, talking specifically about a naval incident that happened in 1967, it was a tragedy, it was a horrible atrocity committed by Israel, but, understand how outside of that context, it comes across as a fixation on Israel, comes across as irrelevant, a hang-up, you know, and somebody's just unserious. So in the service of a broader argument, it works. By itself, it doesn't make any sense. You know, the USS Liberty Veterans Association, yeah, that's great if, you know, maybe if you were trying to push that 2 weeks ago, but now it just comes off again as fixation. And I told people, I didn't say don't ask these questions because they're not relevant. I said don't ask them because there's a very specific way they have to be phrased. It has to be, we have to treat these with great care because it's very delicate. You know how much, you know, how many resources and how much time they've expended trying to make these issues taboo. We have to treat them very carefully to make them persuadable and people open to these ideas. So you can't come in there with non-arguments. You can't come off as obsessed with these things and play into their hands. And moreover, if you do, know your stuff. This guy comes up and says, well, what about the Liberty? And Charlie Kirk says, well, why would Israel attack the Liberty? Which is a great question. Why would they attack the Liberty? You should be prepared to answer that. The guy says, well, I don't know. Okay, well, then you shouldn't be asking the question. If you don't know what it's about, don't ask the question. And to me, this is symptomatic of this attitude, which is, I'm going to go up, kamikaze, dopamine rush, I'm going to get the funny mode, everyone's going to be laughing at me, and I'm going to get my clip on Twitter or whatever to 1,000 likes. If you're going to go and ask a question, you got to do your research. If you're going to ask about the USS Liberty, number one, don't. Number two, if you do, make it part of a much broader attack on the credibility of Zionists, which is the point of it. And number three, even if you are going to do this, please do it right. Don't embarrass us. Know your stuff. You know, so the tone was all wrong, wasn't prepared. The focus was all wrong. I mean, just this question was a pure disaster. And I, you know, maybe the guy, I don't know if he watches my show, but I explicitly said, do not ask if you're going to, you know, do it right, whatever. So I don't know if he watches my show. Some people who don't like me have been saying this week, we're going to go and ask questions about Israel just to spite Nick, who is cucking on this issue. This is what I saw this week. So I don't know if that was just some bozo. If he's a fan of the show, I'm going to say, well, you know, you found out the hard way. It's okay, champ, not the end of the world. But if it's one of these people who's trying to spite me, it's like, well, you get what you deserve, right? You know, people, and I've seen a lot of this, wignats who think that we're not obsessed enough with Jewish people. We have to make that the sole focus. Well, you got what you deserved on that one. You wanted to act like a clown, and that's what happened, right? So I don't know. I don't know who he was with, but it didn't work. No matter what, it didn't work. Let's see. The fifth question was about carpetbagging. This was actually one of the better ones. This was the first good question of the night. Some guy came up and said, I'm not going to talk about race. He said, I'm going to talk about carpetbagging. He said, I'm from the South. We know that after the Civil War, Northern politicians came down to the South. And in other words, you know, they changed political outcomes. Foreigners came and changed political outcomes to suit their interests. He said, this is a tactic that is used. Populations are brought in to change politics, right? They've imported an electorate or imported a politician. He said, so if we recognize this as a tactic, how is this different from immigrants coming to Virginia and North Carolina and all, like Hispanic immigrants coming in and changing the government because they vote differently? We know they vote differently. He said, even if you pass the RAISE Act, which you support, and Charlie Kirk got kind of defensive, that would still only cut it in half, but it's already too late in some ways. We have to cut it off completely. And Charlie Kirk, again, this was the most effective question, and Charlie Kirk totally evaded it. When it was a good, specific, well-researched question, well-framed, the carpetbagging angle, I don't know if that was a necessary analogy, but you know what? It worked. It was sufficient, right? He was not able to come up with a great response. He had to pivot and say, you're just too cynical, and I'm skeptical, and blah, blah, blah. And he got booed for it. He wouldn't even let the guy follow up. He said, no, we have to move on. We have to move on. So, understand, if you ask good questions that are well-framed, that are impenetrable, that are Teflon questions, he will do the same thing. He will resort to the same cowardly tactics of pivoting, shutting down, and moving on. That's what we want more of. But if you toss up a softball and say, here, beat the shit out of me. Hey, beat the shit out of me. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not prepared to respond. He's going to chop your head off. That's what he did tonight. But in the same night, if you give him a tough pitch, if we're going to carry on the baseball analogy, if you're going to throw a fastball, a curveball his way, something that he cannot hit, well, then he's going to throw his arm out and he's going to walk to first base. This is baseball. We're playing baseball now, but you get the picture. Well thought out questions are the worst thing for Charlie Kirk. And we have a lot of them, but you've just got to ask them the right way. You got to prepare them, rehearse them, make them well thought out, and be prepared for pushback. But if they're very good, there isn't even any pushback, because there is no pushback for some of these arguments. Charlie Kirk saying, well, I'm just not cynical. That's not an argument, but that's all he's got. So we've got to call him out with these kinds of good questions. So that guy did great. There were about 4 or 5 questions that were non-Groypers. We'll just skip those out of 12. There were 5 non-Groyper questions. The 7th question, somebody asked about left-wing smears, said to debate Nick Fuentes. I didn't really record this one very well. The 11th question, again, somebody said, oh, you're a liberal. He shouted out me. He said, you know, you should debate Nick Fuentes. And then they got into a debate about Israel. And Charlie Kirk said, well, why don't you support Israel? Try to imply he was an anti-Semite and so on. With the Israel stuff, again, you cannot just shoehorn it into every single question. I saw that happen last night. The only cringe question from last night, the guy just tried to shoehorn it in there. Tonight, I think it was kind of shoehorned in at the end, and Charlie Kirk pounced on it, and he tried to insinuate the kid was an anti-Semite. To me, the most effective counter response is, what you're doing is evil. You know, if Charlie Kirk gets challenged on Israel, if any of these people do, what is their knee-jerk response? Oh, you hate Jews. You're an anti-Semite. Now, that's a pretty damning thing in itself to say. That's a pretty nasty and negative. Talk about cynical. You know, oh, I'm not cynical. I think everyone should come here and that's not a problem. But anybody who questions Israel is a Jew hater. You know, they have a problem with Israel because they're Jewish. Talk about a cynical mentality, right? So in the first place, even calling you an anti-Semite is a very nasty thing to do in itself, but also because of the repercussions. They're implying that you're an anti-Semite, and that's deliberate. We know why. Because you get labeled an anti-Semite, and what happens to you? What happens to your life? Charlie Kirk is saying, I'm painting a target on your back for people to fire you, dox you, whatever. The response to that is not to engage in good faith discussion. The response to that is to call him out and say, I'm going to stop you right there. I know what you're implying, and you're sick for implying that. You talk about you're not cynical. How cynical do you have to be? Who's paying you? If you're going to say that anybody, any America First Christian, whatever, engineer, father, worker, who has something to say about Israel that isn't glowingly positive is just a Jew hater. I know exactly what you're doing, and it's disgusting. You know, you have to have some kind of indignation. It has to be, you're appalled at this, because it is appalling. I've seen this all week with me, with Michelle Malkin. Some jagoff from The Examiner called Michelle Malkin a Nazi and an anti-Semite because she thinks we shouldn't have F1 visas in the country. That's a disgusting smear. And, you know, maybe, you know, I think these smears are all bullshit anyway. They don't really mean anything. But what the intention is they're singling out you to be destroyed. They're defaming you. They're lying about you. They're saying something nasty about you so that you will be singled out and targeted for destruction by the left and by the establishment. That's not cool. We don't engage in good faith discussions with people that do that. And so moving forward, now that we understand their game plan, we can analyze all these different tactics. What is Charlie going to do at these next events? He's not going to stream them. That's number one. So we got to stream. We have to prepare. We have to prepare because he's going to push back. He's going to engage. He's going to be looking for openings where he can. He's going to reframe the question. He's going to use tactics like taking your microphone away, whatever. We've got to be prepared for all of this. The best way to counter these things, as I said from the beginning, is well-written, well-researched, rehearsed questions that are focused, strategic. You're asking yourself, why am I asking this? To what end? How is this going to advance America first, strategically and in terms of the dialectic? Maybe the best question you can ask yourself is, would Tucker Carlson or Michelle Malkin stand by this question? That's the best question you can ask. If you go up there ready to defend, you know, God knows what, ask yourself, is this something Tucker Carlson would defend? Is this something Michelle Malkin would defend? That's the kind of angle we're trying to strike. Is America first, optical, persuasive, presentable, things that are, you know, they're making inroads in the Overton window, so to speak. They're pioneers. They're a little bit out there. They're incremental, but they're moving it further to the right. That's the kind of question you need to ask yourself. What would Michelle Malkin say? What would Tucker Carlson say? These kinds of things when you're writing your question. But, you know, beyond all that, if this is what they're running with, their broader strategy is, you're alt-right, you're an anti-Semite, your identity, you're Identify Yevropa. Hey, are you with Identify Yevropa, that neo-Nazi cult or whatever? The big strategy with that is you have to call this out. You cannot let him insinuate. That's how he wins. He insinuates. He implies. It's a disgusting, ridiculous, dishonest smear. But because he insinuates it, it doesn't really register for a lot of people exactly what he's saying. Get him to say exactly what he means. What are you trying to say, Charlie? Are you trying to say me as a Christian patriot? Are you saying that I'm a alt-right anti-Semite? Shame on you. You're disgusting for saying that. And you don't even have the courage to say it outright. You're implying it. Once he says that, it's over. It is not a good faith discussion. He is not engaging you as an equal. He's not engaging you as an American citizen. He is engaging you as an enemy combatant. And at that point, all bets are off. This is not an honest conversation. Shame on you. We're not going to play your games. That has to be the approach because this is what they're doing. And understand, you know, we're saying this because it's such a dishonest but effective tactic. But again, at the end of the day, it is a lie. Shapiro, Kirk, all these people trying to paint us that. We're not saying to push back on this because it's a bad look. That's what the media has been saying all week. They're trying to rebrand themselves. It's not a rebrand. We don't believe in that stuff. The alt-right, which was founded by Richard Spencer, perpetuated. He's the only one perpetuating the alt-right. It doesn't exist outside of a show where like 100 people watch him review cartoons. You know what I'm talking about. He's the only one who still carries that label. What that ideology represents is it's anti-American or it's post-American, right? I mean, they say, what's the difference between you and Identify Yevropa? What's the difference between you and Richard Spencer? Well, Richard Spencer doesn't even believe in America. We're America first, okay? That's kind of a critical difference. Richard Spencer says, America's over, America's done, we're moving on, we should work to destroy it. We obviously feel very differently. We love America, we want America to go on, we think it will go on. We support Donald Trump. Richard Spencer does not. He mocks people that support Trump. He thinks Trump is terrible, whatever. Kind of a significant difference. We're Christian. I'm Catholic. A lot of the questioners have been Catholic. We believe Jesus Christ was put on the cross, died, buried, rose again, all of this. We believe in Christian social conservatism, Christian social values. I think I heard secondhand that Richard Spencer said something like, I spit on, and I'm not even going to say it, but the Lord. That's what he said. So kind of a critical difference. We're Christian, we're Catholic. I say that for no other reason other than to say these are not insignificant differences. People that worship Christ, that are Christians, we have a Christian metaphysics, Christian social values, and somebody that has no moral social values, and somebody that says they spit on the Savior, right? I mean, so they're very different. This is somebody that's a globalist that believes in a transnational movement. We are a nationalist movement. Spencer himself has said, I'm not a nationalist. I'm a pan-European, whatever. We do not believe in this. We believe in the American nation. He supports the European Union. We do not. He supports gun control. We do not. I mean, so, and this is for no other reason. I know some people might say, oh, you're cucking. They'll call you this anyway. They can call us whatever we want, but the truth is the truth. They are that movement and we are this movement. We have to deny it because it's not true. If they label us in this way, it destroys us because of, I mean, obvious reasons. You know why. You know that they're trying to paint us into a corner, a ready-made label to discredit what we're saying and delegitimize us and make us pariahs. So there's a tactical reason they're doing this, but there's also, we're also not on board that ideology. So I'm not expecting people to go out there and say, no, this is why we're not this. I'm going to list all the reasons. We have to just be indignant about it because it is a lie. It is a gross smear. It's not true. And it is a totally malicious thing designed to discredit good people who are Christians, who are America first, that Charlie Kirk is hijacking and interloping on our movement, which is the Trump movement. So that's what I have to say about tonight. You know, please, please, take this seriously. We're memeing, we're having fun, we've had fun over the last 4 weeks, but we're doing a lot of damage, we're being very effective. We want to do as much damage as possible, we want to be as effective as possible. The only way we can do that is if we look at a night like tonight and think, how can we get better? What can we do better? Take it seriously. The reason that we've been winning is because people have been taking it seriously. They've been smart, they've been prudent, they've been practicing, they've been doing their due diligence, and that's why we've been able to deliver blow after blow against an organization much larger, more well-funded, more organized, and all the rest than we are. And we want to continue to do that. So take all of this into consideration. You know, again, they're going to do more of these tactics. There will be more events. Houston is tomorrow. We will have another opportunity to win. If we do good tomorrow, I think we could say that tonight didn't happen. If we do good tomorrow, we could say, oh, that was a bump in the road. Oh, Charlie Kirk tried a new tactic, immediately destroyed. And that's what we need to happen. So, oh, people are paying attention. That's got to be the approach. Our biggest threat right now, because we win on the ideas. When it comes down to the ideas, if you prepare, you win. They can't answer these questions. Charlie Kirk obfuscated, pivoted, lied, reframed. He had to use cheating tactics. And you know what? A win is a win, right? Or an L is an L. He cheated. That's just how politics is played. But it doesn't have to be that way, right? We can beat cheaters. We can beat people that are dishonest. But the biggest threat right now is that smear. Oh, you're just like the rest. We're going to discredit you with this label. And the only way to push back on that is to call it out for what it is, which is gross, it's wrong, it's disgusting, it's a lie, and show, expose it in front of the whole room. You think you're real sneaky, you think you're really smart, really crafty, you think you're going to get away with it, but I know what you're doing, and what you're doing is wrong, and it's dishonest. I'm an American patriot, whatever, and I just went over what you could say, but that's how it has to be approached, because this is not, it is no longer a good faith conversation. You could say it never was. These people are not engaging us in good faith. If they were, they would talk to me. They would talk to the people that are actually the progenitors of this ideology, but they're not. They're going to put young kids on the spot. They're going to intimidate, bully young kids. They're going to smear them when they're not prepared. And, you know, I'm not going to say that they're not in the front lines. They put themselves in that position, but I mean, you understand what a cowardly and wrong thing that is to do. It's disingenuous. It's not in good faith. So as a result, we're going to have to play ball with similar tactics, but that's Charlie Kirk. That was tonight. How long have we been going? I think we've been going for just like an hour straight or a little over. So we're going to take your super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. Don't want anybody to black pill. You know, look, tonight he survived. He held back the Groyper offensive. He didn't get absolutely humiliated at his own event. I think there were some embarrassing moments where he didn't look very good. If you could call that a victory, you know, congratulations. You, after 4 weeks, after 24 events, you have successfully survived not being humiliated at your own event by a bunch of college kids inspired by a guy with a YouTube show. You know, that's a huge victory for Charlie Kirk, who's funded by Scientologists and Zionists and all these other people. You know, so put it in context, but also learn from it, adapt, be better, be a Groyper, become who you are, right? We want to do better. So we'll have another opportunity tomorrow. Like I said, University of Houston is tomorrow. I think it's at noon, but look it up, get your ticket. It's a Prove Me Wrong event, and do a better job. If the Groypers come through tomorrow at Houston, you will be heroes. Now that said, it's not easy to be a hero. It's tough. It's difficult. It takes a lot of work. So if you want to be the hero, you want to be the hero of the Groyper movement, the people that snatched victory from the jaws of a speed bump or a, you know, a small defeat yesterday, you know, tomorrow will have been yesterday, that you've got to do your homework. You've got to save us. But I think if we came back and rallied tomorrow, that would be huge. I think we could forget about this whole evening, but it's going to take some thought and some hard work. But we are going to move to our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. We've got Mr. Corgi, who says, bro, your reaction to the cringe TPUSA kid had me rolling. Honestly, your D live streams have been so top-notch during the Groyper War. Well, thanks. I'm glad you're entertained at the bare minimum. Some says, Wignats. I can't read that, but yeah, Wignats kind of killed it for us tonight. FF says, for a minute, I was legitimately not sure if that unhinged questioner asking about the Liberty was Patrick Little. He's probably on his way home now. Okay, I don't want to smear. Look. The people that asked the questions, they didn't do a great job, but it's tough. I think the people that have done this before maybe made it look easy. So I don't want to be too hard on those guys. They tried, maybe, I don't know if they tried their best, but they tried. They stepped into the crossfire. They stepped into the kill zone, and they didn't get the outcome they wanted. So I don't think we should be too hard on them. And they're probably fans of the show. But they did get ambushed. You know, Charlie Kirk, this is the first time he lashed out as hard as he did. So I think we should cut them a little bit of slack. Now, that said, tomorrow, no slack. No slack tomorrow. Can't cut slack. Tonight we could say, okay, we weren't expecting that. You tried. But now that we see what's up, there's no excuse. Anon says, LMAO at people who think North Carolina is the South. Cope hard. Isn't North Carolina the South, though? Isn't it south of Virginia? And Virginia was the capital of the Confederacy. It is the South. And let's see. Joseph says, you win some, you lose some. Yeah, that's how it goes. It's a war. You know, we win how many battles, we lose one. It's not the end of the world. Bob Sacamano says, yuck, yuck, I'm going to ask me a USS Liberty question. Yeah, I know, right? Might as well have been. Well, they think they're so much smarter than me. Are you listening now? Hello, optics mode? You know, people forget how quickly people forget. Oh, this will be my victory. You know, remember optics, America first, where did this come from? Maybe we should listen to the guy who kind of inspired a lot of this. I don't know. Maybe that's a good idea. Bandit says, so they finally figured out how to counter the Groypers. From now on, we must be prepared with the relevant facts. Treat the Q&A as if it's going to be a live debate. Yes, that's true. Prepare yourself mentally. Don't get flustered. And also prepare with your facts, counter arguments, all that. But above all else, you got to understand debate is not just about facts. It's about persuasion. It's about frame. It's about these other things. If you don't have a grasp of that, don't engage. Hundungus says, I would like to apologize on behalf of all Southerners. Yeah, apology accepted. I'll say the Florida Southerners did great the other day. So I don't know if it's the Southerners necessarily. James says, bruh, yeah. Trent says, battle lost, Groyper War won. I mean, overall, it was a win, and we lost one battle. Just happened to come at the end. John says, bruh, what the hell is wrong with NC Groypers? They have a lot to answer for. White Hotep says, tonight's questions illustrate how well of a job questioners in past events really did. Mission failed. We'll get them next time. The groiping shall continue. And that I think, is the message of the show. The groiping will continue. Mission failed, but we'll get them next time. Forest Shades is my bird. Started coughing up blood. Can I get a shout out? I'm basically just waiting for him to die. I feel like I'm in an old place. Yeah, well, sorry to hear about your bird. I hope he does well. I hope he pulls through. Inner City Democrat says, the people sending super chat questions, question suggestions, must all live in North Carolina. Wignats ruin everything. Stunned at how much those questions sucked. Note to self, skip North Carolina when I visit the United States. I don't know. I mean, North Carolina failed us. We have failed you. North Carolina has failed us. They have failed us. And the questions were bad. And what did I tell you? But that's okay. It's okay. Now's not a time to say, I told you so. Even though I did, it's a time to say, let's just do better tomorrow. Royal says, I know this question wouldn't get you a sick clip or tons of Twitter followers, but I really wish someone would have asked Charlie to actually define neo-Nazism. Would have put him on the defense. No, we just don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about why people are so stupid when it comes to rhetoric, persuasion, framing. If you're talking about neo-Nazism, you lose. It doesn't matter if you're winning or you're losing. You're scoring points, he's scoring points. If you're talking about that, you lose. Because what really determines the victory is the control of the frame. If the conversation is about how we can deter mass immigration, no matter what, we're winning. If the conversation is about what does white nationalism mean? If we're talking about white nationalism is irrelevant. How many white nationalists are in the country? Are there any? Are there 100? We don't identify that way, so why are we talking about it? Why am I asking a question about immigration and Charlie Kirk is making me talk about some fringe ideology that no one here even believes? It's a total misdirection. If you allow him to change that frame and, oh, now we're on the defensive. Oh, he has to define it. No, wrong. If he has to define it, the ball's in his court. Oh, I get to say, you know, we get to talk about these radicals that everyone knows is ostracized and you're one of them. Wrong. Completely wrong, dude. Wrong. Take it from me, that is so wrong. The frame is mass immigration, it's globalism, it's dual allegiance. Keep him on the frame, control of the frame. That's what we want. That is how you win. Ding dongs, oh, well, you should ask him to define this. You should outsmart him. Hey, thoughts on neo-Nazism? Yeah, that's a big victory for us. Give me a break, dude. This is why he doesn't want to debate me, frankly, because I can see these things coming a mile away. Ding dongs, is Florida Groypers greater than North Carolina Groppers? Yeah, those are the Groppers. Those are the Groppers, not Groypers. So not, those are not our guys. Not a Boomer, says apparently when North Carolina sends their Groppers, they aren't sending their best, truly. I apologize for the sniffling. I'm all congested today. Foy Lee says homosexuality should be discouraged because it doesn't produce children. Please be prepared next time. Yeah, well, that's a very stupid argument. Which has nothing to do with what we're saying, so please be prepared. Yeah, don't prepare like that. If you prepare like that, you're going to get mowed down. It's about Christians. It's about why are Christians not welcome? You know, it was about the promotion of homosexuality. I'll admit he's kind of outflanked us on that one. Now it's about, well, what about me as a Christian? What am I supposed to do? Why are you hostile towards Christians that aren't down with this approach? I would say that's a tactical reframing, but yeah. Well, homosexuality is bad because it doesn't have kids. What's he going to say? What about infertile people? Okay, I mean, this is, I know it's not like a totally cogent argument, but it's just so wrong. This is just so wrong. I hope nobody listens to that. Eddie says, hey, Charlie, so yeah, you, Israel, yeah, you said, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's okay, right? I mean, that's what we were dealing with tonight. Mr. Corgi says, let Carolina go blue after that performance. Definitely lost this battle, but Groypers should not be discouraged. Can't wait to see Yevropa rise, right? No, disavow. Bromance, has ever seen the movie In the Company of Men? It's about a guy literally named Chad, and he bullies a deaf woman throughout the film. Based? Highly recommend it. Okay. Kyle says, didn't Kirk just deny a week or so ago he knew who Identify Yevropa was and refused opportunity to debate Patrick? Yeah, that is a good point, but, you know, again, we don't want to make it about that. Yeah, that's a good point. He is lying, you know. 2 weeks ago, he says, well, I don't know who you are, Patrick Casey. I don't know what you're about. Today, name dropped him. So, yeah, but it's not important. Eugen says, far greater than 2016 4chan autism, Groypers signify the cultural equivalent of an Operation Barbarossa, and that was no Stalingrad. I don't love that comparison. Venom says, those weren't North Carolinians. Raleigh is practically Virginia. Okay, I don't know anything about that. Joseph says maybe the North Carolina event was successfully rigged by Turning Point, or maybe the North Carolina Groypers are just dumb. But either way, there are bound to be setbacks. The Groyper uprising is far from over. I agree. Joshua says, I bet those questions sounded good in their heads. That's exactly it. People daydream. It's a big mistake. I don't blame you for making that mistake, but it's a big mistake. They imagine in their heads, oh, well, first I'm going to say, hey, what about this? Then I'm going to say, oh, well, got you, because it doesn't work like that. It's not going to go how you think in your head. You got to rehearse. That's why you got to prepare. Be realistic. Mentally visualize what's going to happen. Not this daydream, you know, Mickey Mouse stuff where everyone's going to be, oh, he saved the day. They're carrying you, surfing the crowd. That's not how it's going to go. You're going to be a big audience. Going to be quiet. The spotlight's going to be on you. You're going to be nervous. Your mouth will get dry. I mean, these are things that happen. And you will forget some of the things that you wrote down. All that swagger will probably leave you. These are the realities of, you know, if you're not used to public speaking. So this, I'm going to go up and I'm going to say, hey, Charlie, I'm going to own you. What's really going to happen is your fight or flight response is going to kick in. You're going to be very angsty and not even aware of it, very antsy to get in there. And what we need is discipline, self-control, these kinds of things. Aren't Baby says, hello, 9/11 department, or 911 department. I just saw some pibbles around Cicero Avenue roaming around playing the knockout game. What's pibbles? Is that pit bulls? Kyle says the event was very full. Almost half did not get in. Yeah, I'm told some Groypers weren't able to attend, so that's a part of it, I guess. Michael says, I apologize for my fellow Groypers tonight for bad optics. Sadly, I couldn't make it to the event. Well, it would have been the difference maker, maybe. Raul says, I think it would be good to look at this event as an opportunity to further tune our strategy. Remember, God is on our side. Also, look at the moon outside. Yeah, full moon. But yeah, I agree. It's an opportunity to grow. Black Sparrow says, hey, Nick, as a writer, I was thinking about writing a manifesto for our movement. Would you be interested in reading it? Nope. I don't think anybody would be interested in a manifesto by some random person. Also, Russell Kirk, based or cringe? Kind of based. We don't really need a manifesto right now. And if we were going to have a manifesto, it wouldn't be by some random person. Come on now. If you write a manifesto, it's too, we have to remain somewhat formless as the years go on. I think that's an advantage for us. So there's some benefits to that. There's some disadvantages, but I mean, no, I don't think anybody would be interested in that. Nico says, all gave some gave all at OSU, ASU, UCLA, and UFF. Only for North Carolina to drop the ball. At least North Carolina had a black guy rapping. Charlie and the Boomers were like, dance, boy, dance. That's kind of funny. And yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of people. It's not all over. The damage remains. You know, I still think they're on the defensive here, but yeah, you could say that they didn't live up to the threshold there. Moth says, at least nobody asked about Moloch. That in some ways could have been better, frankly. Carter says, I had a car full of Groypers driving to North Carolina State earlier tonight, but on my way, my car broke down. Took an hour to fix, and by then it was too late. We really prepped our questions, too. Next time, King. God didn't pull through for us tonight, huh? Sullen says, this is not a matter of victory or defeat. This is not a matter of the ebb and flow of the Groyper War, for our victory is certain. This is a matter only of the eternal and when... No, no, no. Please, none of this. It was a defeat. We can have defeats, but we just have to learn from them. But this kind of like denialism, this is what will kill us. Well, the victory is certain. No, it's certainly not certain. They're a very powerful enemy. If we're not smart, if we're not fighting hard and working hard, we will lose. So that kind of complacency is not what we need. Chris says, Dr. Omar Kafil diagnosis tonight's event was cancerous. Yep, let's see. Real Life says, blackpilled again on a Thursday night. Let every failure be an example of how to be better. Research and remember your topic. Yeah, big agree. Rish, what is this? Rish something Cash says, our great emperor once said he would gladly take the slings and arrows for us. Similarly, I see you taking the black pills for the Groypers every day, and I have nothing but respect. Stay strong, King. Well, thanks. Cloud9 Ninja says, the easiest way to counter Charlie on demographics is to ask, here we go, another amazing, stellar suggestion. Charlie, do you believe California, which went blue shortly after the Reagan amnesty, can be flipped? As goes California, so goes a nation. Oh, yeah, he'll totally have nothing to respond to. Maybe just ask really well-thought-out, well-researched, well-framed questions instead of these, oh, I know, here's the easiest way. No, there are no easy ways. There are difficult ways that require a lot of thought about framing. Well, if we just say this, no, he'll just pivot. He'll just control the microphone. Do you really think, do you really believe? He'll say yes. Do you really believe? Yes. That's a terrible way to start. Do you really believe? Yes. Or no. Or I'll just reframe it. That is not an effective question. I think California can be flipped. He could, there are a variety of reasons he could come up with why it isn't flipped. Entrenchment, culture, whatever. You know, the idea that this is a kill shot, you have to look at it like chess. Oh, I put you in check. Yeah, well, he can still move out of it. We need checkmate. Checkmate, this is a great analogy. Well, credit to me, great analogy. Hello, great analogy department. We need the checkmate. Anybody can put the king in check. Check does not win the game, if you're familiar with chess. It's not hard to put a piece in a position where the king is in a position where he could be killed by a question, by a move. It is difficult to put him in a position where he has nowhere to go, where he cannot stay where he is and he has nowhere to go. That's what you must do with the question. Box him in. Not come up with a gotcha where it's like, oh, well, you look kind of silly now. Cut off all his options. Frame it in such a way that you anticipate what he's going to say, and there's nowhere that he can really go with this. There's nowhere where he can effectively pivot. But to just simply say, well, oh, do you really believe California can be flipped? Well, sure, I mean, now the onus is on him to explain away how California's become blue, but he's got a lot of ways to do that. Some of them compelling, some of them not. Some of them are just filler, but he's got reasons. the task of the question is to make sure that he has nowhere to go, to box him in. If he goes up, down, left, right, diagonal, even if he stays where he is, he's toast. That's what a good question does. The carpetbagging question was perfect. You had a good sort of preamble to it, you know, and then the ultimate setup, which is, why would you call it this tactic of, you know, electioneering, basically through population replacement? A question like that, well set up with the facts, like the guy did yesterday in Florida, is a checkmate. We need checkmates. I hope that analogy works. I think that explains what we're trying to do here. Dixie Kratz says, hey, Nick, according to Pew Research, Christianity is on extremely fast decline in the States. For the first time, Protestants make up less than 50% of the population. So much for Christian conservative Charlie Kirk. I don't know what that has to do with Charlie Kirk. Let's see. Dumbass says, that's life. And remember, as always, that's life. Ha ha ha, right? Yeah, we get tackled by the police. We get tackled by Charlie Kirk. John says, maybe next time, grill Charlie. Here we go. Here's another suggestion. Another suggestion. Amazing suggestions. Grill Charlie Kirk on how well he knows the Bible. Yeah, no, don't do that. Gregory says, I'm going to the UH event tomorrow. I'm thinking of asking Kirk about his support for EB-5 visas. Any advice in particular or sources to look into? If not, should I try pressing him on St. Clair? Pressing him on St. Clair has been done before. Maybe can get a little bit more progress, depending on how you ask it. But I'd go with EB-5 visas. Check out what Michelle Malkin has to say about it. Ann Coulter. FAIR, which is, what is it, the Foundation for American Immigration Reform, something like that. FAIR, CIS. Get a lot of sources. Get a lot of arguments. Michelle Malkin did a great piece about this just last week in American Greatness. That's a good source. Let's see. Mike says, big fan of the show, man. Keep it up. If everything plays out, I'm going to run for president and fix this dump. God bless. Well, I hope you do that. ASDF says, did you see Sam Cedars offer to moderate a debate between you and Charlie Kirk? I did. Let's see. Gabe says, one half of a question. Why would Israel deliberately attack the USS Liberty? Answer, to prevent the U.S. Nope. Do not it. We don't want to be arguing that. Again, there's nothing wrong with naming the Liberty inherently. But what's the goal? You know, is the goal to get people to think that Israel attacked the USS Liberty? Okay, but to what end? The end is to make Israel less credible as an ally, to make people who shill for Israel less credible. So only in the service of that argument is this relevant. This is making it, and look, I'll just say this because it's become so problematic. Stop being obsessed with Jewish people. Stop. And look, I used to push back on this so hard, and I tried. People would say, oh, they're all obsessed with Israel. They're all obsessed with Jews. I would say, we're not. We're just bringing up valid criticisms. But you know what? Some people are. There are people out there that are, and we just have to say it, they are. Just honest, just true. You can call out, and look, I'll say straight up, you can call out organized Jewry, which exists. The organized Jewish lobby, which exists. It's distinct and different from the Israel lobby. It's out there. Why does Harvey Weinstein work with the Mossad? If it's about, you know, right-wing Zionists and left-wing media people, you know, why was Jeffrey Epstein working with the Mossad? If it's about left-wing, you know, Jewish people and right-wing Zionists. So there, who is pressuring the State Department to shut down the military base that was going to be built in Poland because of the Polish Holocaust laws? Was the Israel lobby pushing that, or was that the organized Jewry? It exists. The Israel lobby exists. They exert a disproportionate amount of power. They got us into the Iraq war. I mean, the list goes on and on. Okay, I get that. That's a part of our worldview. It's integrated into a coherent worldview. But there are people that they just cannot let that go. If you're not talking about it every second of every day, then, oh, you're afraid, you're in their pocket, whatever. And that, we just have to drop that. Just have to shed that. It's not to say that, look, I say it every night unapologetically. I acknowledge it. Yeah, that's happening. It's true. But it's also true that we can't get too hung up on that, because that's not what we're about. We're about America first. Okay? And acknowledging some realities is part of that. Telling the truth is part of that. Not being afraid of political correctness is a part of that. But it's not this, you know, weird, like, I don't even know. So I'll say that's another, you know, it's about the USS Liberty. No, it's about America. And how does this ultimately serve the people in America? Look, at a certain point, you just have to say that. Nikki J says, I felt it was more like a draw than an L. We sent in the Groiper C team, not our best. You win some, you lose some, but you live to Groip another day. Yeah, I agree. It was a draw. Prince of Conquest says that last Groiper was just throwing shit at the wall to see what stuck. Very unfocused and unprepared. Yep, my take exactly. Knowing the relevant facts isn't enough. Yes, I agree. That is a great way to say that. Kid Trunks says we want to build communities with people who share our heritage. Charlie claims we need justification or else this preference is immoral. But preferences don't, require justification. Come on, Charlie. Yeah, this isn't really going to fly. That's not really going to work. It's not compelling. It's not convincing to people who don't already believe it. Nick with a huge super chat. Thank you so much. He says, if someone sets it up to frame you as a fascist, disavow immediately. Two, if you aren't prepared, don't have the relevant info for your claim, do not get in line. Three, it's America first. The more you focus solely on Israel, the worse we look. Four, plug the show. Don't beg for a debate. Yep. Those are perfect points. Thanks for the big super chat. Thanks for perfect 100% right points. Exactly. Number one, if they try to set you up like that, disavow, disavow, disavow. You're disgusting. How could you say that? I know what you're doing. That's what it has to be. If the knee-jerk is you're an anti-Semite, then the knee-jerk is how dare you? I absolutely dare you. You're evil. You're disgusting. You're smearing me. I love my country. You're just like the left. Perfect. Perfect. Point number one, exactly right. Point number two, says Nick. And this isn't even me. Somebody says Nick O is the username. Number two, if you aren't prepared, don't have the relevant info, don't get in line. Exactly. If you're not prepared, don't even get in line. Three, it's America first. Don't focus on Israel. Exactly. Not to say don't talk about Israel. Not to say don't ask about it, but it's America first. The focus is on America. What's happening here? Sure, they play a part in the wars and whatever, but it's about America. America first. If you're talking about Israel more than America, you're making a mistake. The same mistake they are in some sense. That hang-up has got to stop. It's a part of it, but the hang-up, the obsession, it's got to go. And then lastly, don't beg for a debate. Exactly right. Why won't you debate? It was maybe okay the first time, but this debate this guy. It looks desperate. It looks like we're signaling weakness. Debate me is a meme. We don't want that, say, well, watch America First with Nicholas J. We should check out his content. I agree that's a much better... I didn't even think to say that, but that's a much better frame. So thanks for the big super chat. Great points. Really great points. Let's see. Prey says, Nick, I want to apologize for North Carolina's cringe tonight. They closed the event before my friends and I could get in. And walking away, I saw multiple people open your stream. Sad day for Groypers. Yeah, but there's another day tomorrow. Christian says, hey, Nick, thanks for everything you're doing. My wife was the woman pushed to the front of the line at UF, and I was the white Cuban. We sent our first chat earlier this year announcing we were married. We are now expecting our first child this year. Well, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing. Congrats on the first kid. Congrats on the marriage. You guys did a great job yesterday. The white Cuban, the femoid, the based femoid, you guys did great. So congrats on the question, and congrats on the marriage. Wow, isn't that amazing that we see over the course of a year people send in a super chat and, at one time and then a year later they're married and having kids. That's what it's all about. So kudos to you guys. Praying for the marriage, praying for the child. That's very exciting. I'm glad for you. And thanks for the big super chat. Yo Mama says, hey, Nick, you fellow Chicagoan Catholic femoid here. Your fellow Chicagoan Catholic femoid here. I had a nightmare that you married Brittany Venti instead of me. Please let me bribe you so that never happens. Okay, thank you. That is a nightmare. That is a nightmare for everybody, I think. No e-girls, right? Not even once. Not even once, let alone getting married. So, yeah, but I don't know if... I don't know if we're going to get married, but hey. But it's very flattering. Thank you. I appreciate the kind words. But yeah, definitely no. I think we can agree. Brittany Venti, look, she's, it would be mixing. It would be mixing. She's a pagan. She doesn't even like Joker. She didn't like Joker. She didn't like Jesus is King. She countersignals Groypers. Some Groypers in Baked Alaska. Sorry. I like her. I consider her friendly. And I still talk to her, but... marriage. Sorry, gonna have to be Catholic, gonna have to be Italian, gonna be able to cook up some schkidal and beans and some baked mustacholi, and we're gonna have to have some cavadils. I'm at a certain point where I'm kind of like a high profile guy now. I'm like a big political guy. I think it's not too much to ask that I have some cavadils. I'm over here saving the nation. I know it's kind of hard to make, it's a little tedious, but look, frankly, I bring a lot to the table. What's she going to bring to the table? Mac and cheese isn't going to cut it. Canned soup, not going to cut it. We're going to need some cavadils, some big mustacholi. We're going to need the works here. But thanks. Let's see. Gabe says, so it's this question about homosexuals. Why do we care about what two consenting adults do in private? Answer, because it reflects in public kids in California now subject to learning gay sex in public education. Yeah, that is a great angle. Why do we care what two people do in the privacy of their own homes? Well, that's not happening. That's what I call out. Well, that's not what's happening. It's not in the privacy anymore. It's in the public schools. It's on television. It's in you know, all of the culture. And how do you think it started? It started with the privacy. You know, he said, oh, it's a slippery slope fallacy. Not a fallacy. Look how far we slid. It started with marriage and then ended up where it is now. So I think that's a good counter-argument. Heinrich says, I don't know what Yevropa is, but I am against neo-Nazism. Simple as, you morons. Never been prouder to be a Yankee than today. Other than that, in USS Spurg, it was cringe, but not disaster tier. Yeah, please, Texans tomorrow, rep your state. Texans will never recover if they botch it tomorrow. Embarrass us Yanks. The Yanks killed it in Ohio. We killed it in New Hampshire. We killed it in Iowa. So prove the Yanks wrong. Show us what you got, right? Let's have a little regional rivalry here. Friendly regional rivalry. But I wouldn't even disavow. I would just call out what you're doing. You're not, sure, I disavow neo-Nazism. So does everybody. But what you're doing is wrong. I would just be dismissive. Oh, yeah, sure. Nobody's a Nazi here. What are you, a leftist? Of course I disavow Nazism. But what you're doing is dishonest and blah, blah, blah. But it has to be totally dismissive. Let's see. Tim says, tonight was decidedly an L for the Groypers. Got a bit cocky and we paid the price. We are still by far their superior and people have taken notice. In due time, we will finally be given the respect that we deserve. I agree all around. Let's see. Wow, we got a lot of super chats tonight. I'm congested. It's 10 o'clock, but you know what? We're going to power through these. We're going to get through them all, and everyone's going to be so proud of me. Let's see. Where did I leave off? I scrolled down a little too far there. Sneakers says, I'm not suggesting America First Takiya, but if a clip isn't worth sharing, then simply don't share it. I agree. Flex says, I got a chance to ask my question about demographic shift as a political tool, but the Europa plan had reserved seat for him in VIP. Disappointed in my state, but approved my point. Yeah, well, it begs the question. Maybe there are plants involved. I don't know. But yeah, I wish you were able to ask your question. Or were you the guy that asked about carpetbagging? If so, you did a great job. Eugene says, shut up about Israel. Talk about never Trump. Talk conservative ideology, history, and future. Talk Buchanan, Buckley, Bush, free speech, and demographics have been done to death. Most of this is wrong. Why would we talk about Buckley? Why would we talk about conservative? No, this is all wrong. And, you know, I don't necessarily even agree with shut up about Israel. Just don't be obsessed with it. I would never say shut up about Israel. Please talk about it. But let's not. It's one part. It's one part. One part of our program, one part of our platform, you know, but people that are obsessed with it, that's the issue. And there are people, look, there are people that are, and we're not. We recognize there's a problem there, but it's one problem among a lot of others happening. And but I would not talk about Buckley. I don't think that has anything to do with anything. But sure, talk about how Charlie Kirk didn't vote for Trump. Jack says, the only things Dixies can't lose is weight. Okay, you know, that's a little tough on our Southern friends. Yoker says, none of these cringe Q&A moments would have happened if Charlie and Ben were open to a real debate with you. I mean, that's true. Also, what year is the official Zoomer Millennial divide? Any hope being a Zoom mill like me? 96? I think 97. Maybe 96 is the most generous we can be, but I mean, you're kind of right on the cusp there. TF2 says, I got my ticket back in September and drove 2 hours to Raleigh only for the venue to fill up by 6:30. Only white pills that I talked to three knickers in line. At least we can be cringe together. Yeah, I guess so. Sucks he didn't get in, though. Gotta get early. Gotta get there early. Early Groyper catches the worm. Early Groyper catches the victim, and then you know what happens. Cloud9 says, Charlie, you support group identity for blacks, Asians, and Jewish people. I apologize. I know the sniffling's annoying. But denounce any hint of white identity as evil. Do you not believe supporting the group identity of all groups, including those of European descent, is healthy? I would not ask about that. I would say, do you believe it should be all or nothing? And if you believe it's nothing, then why do you support? I would frame it like that. I would say, You know, you say that white identity is evil, but meanwhile, you have these black conferences, whatever. I believe it's all or nothing. Either everybody gets to play identity politics, everybody gets to be proud of who they are and exert their interests, or nobody does. Which is it for you? If you believe it's the latter, then why do you do these conferences? I would frame it exactly like that. Our last dance, this friend of mine goes to North Carolina State, said he got there late, and there were 300 people in front of him in the line. Most were not let in. Supposedly, there were a surprising amount of boomers in line, too. Well, there you go. So there were some disadvantages. A lot of forces conspired to make tonight go badly. Logan says, we need to get back to the only Chad Groypers doing questions. Too many weak-kneed men, unable to stand their ground. Well, I would take it a little easy, but yeah, we want people that can execute. Jim says, this whole tour has been a win for us, plus now we got a clip of Kirk explicitly counter-signaling white ethnicity. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Broadly speaking, it's been a win. Dantastic says, I was a guy with the question about gay marriage and transsexuality. Can't believe my phone slept in the middle. That's what low power mode gets me. Sorry we disappointed you tonight. Hope this helps. Well, thanks for the super chat. Look, I mean, these things happen. You should have prepared. You should have, you know. But look, I mean, these things do happen. You know, minor logistical things. I did say, you know, prepare for logistical things. But, you know, you stepped up. It does take some guts to do that. You had heart. You had energy. So we can't be mad at you. We can't be mad at you. There was a disappointing outcome, but you know what? We can take an L here or there. So I don't want to be too hard on you. I think it takes a lot of guts to step up. It takes a lot of guts to get out in front of the microphone and do what you do. But sometimes it doesn't always work out. And, you know, you do it better next time, I guess. But I don't. These are young people. These are young people we're talking about. We're going up against a very powerful enemy. So we can't be too hard. We just have to do better. Arrow says, this movement is supposed to be hierarchical, isn't it? Then why are we letting just any Groyper ask questions, especially when there's a possibility of them being lame or a plant? So clearly you don't understand how this works. Why would we allow? We're not really in control of the line, so. Why would we allow them just letting anyone ask a question? What are you, stupid? Oh, we control everyone. I control everyone. The movement is the human race, and I control everyone. Oh, hey, everybody, don't go online if you're not a real Groyper. Oh, okay, like... What a dumb question. Michael says, why try to pacify the biggest threat to a Christian world? Okay, I'm not reading this one. Why not talk about the Holocaust Fed or Israel? We are starved from a deficit of that specific freedom of speech. Kowtowing so you can gatekeep for Trump. Well, we're not gatekeeping anything. We've talked about a lot of things in the past, but clearly you just don't understand optics. You don't understand the plan. And that's all I can say to you for now, is you don't understand the plan. Either you're not smart enough to get it, or you're deliberately ignorant, but we're not going to be brought down by people that are just simply stupid and don't understand what we're trying to do here. Irving says, after tonight, on the topic of PR disasters for the movement, what are your plans for when Donald Trump inevitably labels us as anti-Semitic? Well, I'm not going to engage with that. That's very defeatist rhetoric and probably not going to happen. And you're banned for being a defeatist. Well, inevitably we lose. What's your plan? What's your plan for being a faggot? Bruce says, be sure not to answer any questions that Charlie Kirk asks. Every single one he's done up to this point is used to smear us or dismiss us. Don't give in till he answers the question. God bless. Completely agree. Let's see. Really awkward silence says, please wish my brother a happy 21st birthday, Goofball Groyper. Happy birthday. Happy 21st to Goofball Groyper. Hope it's a good one. Kind of a rough night for a birthday, but hey, hope it's a good one. You know, get some McDonald's, get some cake, right? Have some ice cream. Akimbo says, I'm not racist. All I'm saying is that black guys are taller. I know nothing else about race. Okay. Sad Woman says, going forward, Groypers need to run all questions by a couple friends, and those friends need to be brutally honest, willing to say no, that's gay, you're too low IQ, etc. That's a good idea. Josh says, terrible optics tonight, low IQ as he is. Charlie Kirk played these guys like fiddles. Questions were poorly researched, loosely framed, and allowed Charlie to lay traps that were stepped straight into. Yep, that's exactly right. John with a super chat in, what is this, Czech currency? What do they call it over there? I went to Czechia. What do they use? It's, I forget what the currency's called, but so I don't know the exchange rate exactly. Anyways, it says $20. Okay, thanks for clarifying. He says, P.S., those were the 98 IQ Spurgs that that the Daily Stormer sent there, running everything to the ground as always. Yeah, it's the pernicious plants, pernicious Wignat plants. Yeah, I guess we can blame it on Wignats who were sent there by bad people who disavow. Terrible. We should have listened to Andrew Klavan instead. Should have listened to Andrew Klavan at the Daily Wire. But this Andrew Anglin guy, the Daily Stormer, man, this Wignat, he's sending all these bad guys, Nazis, to our events, right? He's sending in plants and aren't going to do a good job. Yep. You know, I guess we could say blame plants, blame it on, you know, plants trying to make us look bad. Should have listened to people like me and Andrew Klavan. Andrew Klavan at Daily Wire clearly warned against all this stuff. The guy at Daily Wire said explicitly, don't talk about this stuff, right? So it's just, oh, it's all these terrible plants over there. Anyway, John says, bringing up the Groiper General Frentis is yielding diminishing returns. We must adapt. No, I think you should still mention me. It was not bringing up me that was the problem tonight, obviously. Late Night says, Nick, I want to thank you as a literal 30-year-old boomer and Afghan war vet. You've given me hope for the future of the right. I fully support you in the Groiper movement. Strength in numbers, strength in truth. Well, thanks. Yeah, very true. We are strong because there's a lot of us and we're telling the truth. But thank you. And hey, thank you for your service. The real heroes fought in Afghanistan, right? So thanks, big guy. I appreciate that. Josh says, which part of Kool-Aid with the Israel stuff did people not get? Shout out to those three Groipers my brother and I saw after who were smoking cigs and complaining about the cold. That's kind of funny, though. Kind of cool. Yeah, shout out to those Groipers. I'm going to come out to one of these days. I got to come to one of these events. I got to meet the people because I just love these guys so much. I really do love the Groipers. Every time I go to these events, I really do love the people that are a part of this. Stans says the key is making sure there's a huge Groiper turnout in the crowd. Huge red flag when Kirk isn't getting booed to oblivion every time he shills for degeneracy in Israel. Yeah, it's a good point. Thomas says, I am of sound mind and not depressed or suicidal. I am a safe driver and do not abuse drugs or alcohol. Also, I don't stand on high balconies or juggle knives. Yeah, good clarification for me to make. Says, Kirk faces a constant stream of kids that poke and prod him around the country. Kirk could stem the tide by defeating their leader, Nick. Instead, he loses his patience in shouting matches with them. That's a good frame. RJ says, don't let people rag on you for being base and refusing to give money to landlords. Living with parents until marriage was normal until World War II, and then boomers ruined it. Go figure. Pee-pee-poo-poo housing market. Yeah. Well, and I don't let anybody shame me. People say, oh, ooh. You know, it's not like I couldn't move out. I could very easily move out. But the point is, we're trying to build intergenerational wealth. This is the key to financial independence, is to save as much money as possible. And, you know, boomers are like, oh, why don't you spend your money on, you know, the perfidious boomer? They're out there scheming. Why don't you spend money on rent? Spend money on landlords. You know, set your money on fire. Pay somebody else. Build somebody else's equity with paying rent. I didn't want to do that, you know, and it's my money. So people can say, you like live at home? It's like, well, would I rather move out and pay lots of money and not save money? It's money. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I'd basically be paying so that people could not make fun of me for that. Well, it's not really worth it to me. Oh, okay, you could say what you want, but I'm laughing all the way to the bank. So, yeah, I mean, people can say that all they want. I'm not the sucker. All these people making fun of me, it's like they're in college, they're drowning in debt. Ha ha. Oh, you live with your parents? Like, well, I'd probably have a lot more saved than you do, you know? So, anyway, that's kind of a detour. I allowed you to control the frame on that one. Oh, disavow, identify Evrapa. Disavow, identify Evrapa. You're changing the subject. America First Jew says, sorry tonight didn't live up to yesterday. I'll see you guys at SAS later that week. Recoup, re-engage, and be confident. They have AstroTurf, and we have the Groiper Army. Yeah, great point. Some wise words from a veteran of the Groiper War. Thank you. Nation of Immigrants says, why are we not pushing back when these deceivers dodge and don't answer cues or reroute back to their talking points? Why are we missing chances to boo and heckle? Nick, please emphasize this point more. Dude, shut up. We've been emphasizing this for 3 weeks. Some dumbass who hasn't even asked a question. Why are we not doing this? Where are you, big guy? Where are you? What do you mean, we? Why are we not doing this? We have been pushing back. It's tough tactics. It's decentralized. We have been emphasizing this. So fuck off with this kind of stuff. Some dumbass loser. Armchair general from the sidelines getting indignant about it. Yeah, banned. And this is what I will not have, is people from the armchairs criticizing people that are out there. That I will not have. Because you know what? Maybe they didn't do such a great, good job, but they were there. But they showed up, they got in line, and they asked their questions. So there's only so much we could say about that, people that didn't even participate. Why are we not doing this? Why are you not saying this? Okay, why don't you start a show? Identity Yevropa says, thank you for conspiring with us to take over the government, brother. See you at the rally. Ah, yes, thank you. Ryan says, thank God Lara had to leave early. Yeah, absolutely. Sydney says, we got to set our standards. We can't have people on the microphone that don't know what they're talking about. Come well-read on your question or don't get in line. Agree. Andrew says, questioners could take a lesson from Luther on, what is this, catechetics. Memorize your question and answers. If Kirk goes outside of what you are prepared for, it's perfectly acceptable to give up the mic. Agree. Stans says, control the room is key. All Groypers in the crowd need to be heckling Kirk the entire time. He can't get any confidence. Should be totally emasculated by the end. OSU crowd did this perfectly. Exactly right. That's true. Even if the questions are bad, if he's getting heckled and booed, it doesn't even matter. So the key is presence. That's a great point. Jay Martz has pointed out correlation with smear campaign against Stephen Miller by liberals and Kirk against yourself for America First policies. That's a great question. Bring up V-Dare. Bring up all that stuff. Exactly. Bring up the Stephen Miller smear and say, how's it any different from what you're doing to Nick Fuentes and the Groypers? Alan says, Charlie, with the animosity that whites receive while still in the majority, do you worry how your children will be received when they're viewed as despised in the minority? That's not a bad question, but I don't know. The Red Elephant says, support Nick and your favorite creators. Also, some good questions at Shapiro event today. Yeah, there were some good ones at Shapiro. And thanks, Vince. Everybody go subscribe to his channel. He's great. Red Elephants. Zach says, bruh, high tea chat tonight. We got Vince, T-Marsh, and PJW chilling. PJW's in here? Well, hey, Paul, what's going on? You're pretty cool. You're a pretty cool guy. Good to have you in the chat. Thanks for being an honest guy. Thanks for honestly covering what's going on. It takes a lot of integrity to do that. Not a lot of people are doing that. You know, I don't want to name any names, but some other people are being kind of cringe about this. So we appreciate that you've been honest. I've seen this guy lurking around Trump Tower, and I gotta say, the guy's a Chad. Don't want to be simping for the bigger East celebrity, but you know, people counter-signal this guy sometimes, and it's like, well, you know, say what you will, but he do be looking kind of fresh though. So very cool. What's T Marsh? I don't know what. Taylor Marshall. Oh, yeah, very cool. We love Taylor Marshall. Even if he broke mutuals, that's okay. It's neither here nor there. He's great. We love him. Let's see. Make Ohio Great says, I believe the guy that claimed to support Identify Yevropa was a plant. The question Charlie asked seemed very planned, and the Groypers are better than falling for that. Yeah, that's definitely possible. Keith says, I noticed that Charlie was sitting in a more confident way tonight, so he must have been more prepped. Also, Zoomernat seems odd. Just a few months ago, he was for a war in the Middle East and was a Ben Shapiro fan. Well, I mean, people can change their minds. I was a Ben Shapiro fan, you know, five or six years ago. So I guess people can change their minds, but maybe it's worth a little scrutiny. But yeah, he was definitely prepared. He knew what he was going to do. Habsburg says, the regulars aren't cutting it anymore. We got to send the elite special forces, Groyper or Grenadiers. They have had time to learn and fight back. We got to do the same. Cheers. Yeah, I agree. Time to bring out the big questions, the big guns, the really big Groypers. Southern Dingo says, you would probably consider me a Wignat, even though that term is kind of fake and gay. Okay, then I'm not going to answer your question. You would consider me a Wignat, even though I'm retarded and a bitch. Okay, whatever. Chris Jones says, next event, guys. Hit Charles with the fact he supports arming, funding, and allying with the radical Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia that attacked us on 9/11 and funds ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, and more only because of Israel. Nah, it's a little too complicated. It's all true. All of that's true. But I think that one's going to go over a lot of people's heads. There's too much groundwork to be done there. If you have to explain, like, 9/11, Wahhabism, ISIS, if it takes you 20 minutes to introduce people to the idea and the premise of the question, it's probably not effective. Let's see. CIA says, Charlie, what is the purpose of mass immigration? If it is for GDP, is GDP growth at the expense of Americans worth it? Who are burdened with the debt, not starting families, which pushes them to socialists? That's a great question. That's a beautiful question that ties in families and immigration and the bigger question about GDP. I think the question about why are immigrants coming here is better than like what's happening as a result of them coming here. In other words, do you think that immigrants should come here because they make the economy stronger? Or, I mean, what else is there that they bring? And, you know, so something along those lines. That's not perfect, but that's a good angle. Alan says, tell Charlie to make a choice, serve Israel or the USA. He cannot serve both. No, don't ask him that. That's because he's going to say, I serve America, maybe, or he's going to say it's a false question. Again, these drive-bys don't work. That's a nice check. It's not a checkmate. Let's see. Music says only 54% of white America voted for Trump and only 39% of young white America voted for Trump. Our problem is cultural. Jesus is coming. No, this is bullshit, though, because 90% of the people that voted for Trump were white. So that's a nice obfuscation, but it's not true. Right Limit says I wear socks 99.9% of the time. The only exception is obviously when I'm in the shower, swimming, sauna, or during the summer when it's extremely hot. Is this normal? That's how I do it, but I don't know how. Kind of an off focus. I can suspect. I don't want to go Charlie Kirk mode and say I think I could see where you're going with this. Are you one of those? You know, but yeah, that's normal for me, I guess. Knight of Mirrors says this is a learning experience. We haven't lost until we quit, and we will not quit. James 1:2-4 comes to mind. Yeah, very true. ASDF says, if you quit your job to stalk TPUSA and YAF events because you read two chapters of Culture of Critique, please don't ask any questions. Yeah, I think I know what you're getting at. Priority 1 says, Nick, I just watched your excellent speech at Iowa State, but I want to recommend you hire security. Oh, thanks for the unsolicited advice. If you speak publicly again, don't forget a guy tried to tackle Trump at a rally and Milo had his mic taken away by protesters. Well, in that case, it didn't really go as planned, but we improvised, and there were cops all around, so it ended up being fine. But thank you for that. Really, I never thought of that. Security at an event like that? Wow. Diversity says, this is not a victory for Turning Point one bit, just a wake-up call for us to not be cocky. I agree. We are in control. We were just caught off guard. Kirk never responded like this until tonight. Yeah, that's exactly right. George says, thank you, Nick. I know that I would be good at the mic. So here's a scripture. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction, says Isaiah 48:10. Wise words to live by this week. Stans says, wish someone would have asked him about American exceptionalism. Is it the Christian morality that Kirk has ditched for sodomy and usury? Is it the conservative government policy that will be erased? Okay, none of this makes sense to me. Alexander says, why pornographic production in the United States is legal? Do you speak English? It may seem like an obvious point that porn is evil as well as physically and spiritually damaging, but its legality never seemed to be seriously discussed or debated. It seems to me, I mean, I agree with you, but why are we asking that of Charlie Kirk? I don't think he's ever taken a strong stand on pornography. If he did, he would go against it. So I don't know if that's exactly what we want at this moment. Again, I am against pornography. We know who's making the pornography. We know where it comes from. But is that the right question for this operation? I don't think that is serving what we're trying to do here. Emperor Weiji says, Charlie, as a Christian, I applaud your support for Israel, but I wonder why we can't oppose progressive agendas like the normalization of homosexuality. How are you deciding which values to support and which to cede to the left in the culture war? Yeah, that's okay, I guess. Dr. Taylor Marshall says, attend traditional Latin Mass. This is real Taylor Marshall, not the fake one. Okay, well, I guess yesterday must have been the fake one, maybe, but hey, thanks. Yeah, look, the one time that I went, it was pretty good. People have been giving me a hard time about this all the time. But yeah, I'll try to make it out. I'll try to make it out to a few more of those. Maybe I'll make it a regular thing. Don't want to bear false witness. Because, you know, maybe I'll just go to Novus Ordo, you know, get my Eucharist and all this. But, you know, the TLM is nice, but, you know, you're not the one that has to drive 45 minutes to downtown Chicago to go to the church, you know, where you're in traffic and all that. But, yeah, well, then again, Sunday is not so bad for traffic, but sure. I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a try. But thanks for the super chat. Cheesehead says the Q&A strategy must end with you at a Q&A session. It is the only thing that will re-energize. You need to be at every event trying to get in line. Here's $15 for a plane ticket. Get in line, Groiper. Okay, thanks. Yeah, great idea. Not. Northern Wealth says, wouldn't it be better to refer to the U.S. population as multi-generational Americans instead of white? This would strip Kirk of the ability to frame the question or result right. Yeah, it's not a bad idea, actually. But I don't think anybody's talking about white Americans. I don't think anybody, with the exception of some questions tonight, nobody's been saying, like, oh, white. And the race dimension is important, so it's kind of a subtle thing here. So I don't know if that's, I don't know if this is the best, but it's one angle we could use. Groiper says, racism and anti-Semitism does not exist. It was invented to control your mind, your thoughts, and your actions. Wake up. Yeah, we know that. Nice all caps, you know, Boomer, Groiper in disguise. Let's see. Scroll down a little too far. Where are we here? Suk says, legal immigrant here, became America first because I studied history extensively. Nobody else in my own kind would bother. They vote Democrat because everybody else does. End immigration now. Awesome. I see you're one who left the plantation. You're free. You are free from the Democrat plantation. Congratulations. I agree. You know, good for you. Running Wild says, not a question for TPUSA. If Germans, French, Italians, Swedes, and Spaniards were relocated to some Middle Eastern country, do you think they would break up into ethnic gangs, make bombs, loot the country, and gang rape the native teens? Yeah, probably not. Eagle-Eyed says, when bringing up the USS Liberty, point to this. No, just don't bring it up, unless you're talking about foreign aid or something like that. Gabe White says, I think you misunderstand what I was saying. I wasn't saying ask more Israel questions. I was saying the people asking them didn't have answers to Charlie's counter questions. Yeah, I know that's what you're saying, but you don't have to counter if you just don't ask, right? Let's see. Anonymous says, great analogy. Strong chess players understand different openings and responses. We need to anticipate Charlie's responses before executing our move. I hear Charlie's weak against the Groiper Gambit. Yes, the Groiper Gambit opening move. Yeah, he doesn't know how to respond to that. I'm glad you like my analogy. CG says, why are the Groipers name-dropping you so much? This isn't about brand promotion, but about bringing down conservative ink. Please stay on message, not promotion. Enjoy some shekels, make them count. It's never been about brand promotion. This is a very stupid take I've seen from people. They say, oh, you're making it about yourself. They're making it about you. It's about brand promotion. It's never been about brand promotion. The reason you bring up my name is not to promote my brand. I don't consider myself having a brand. No, this brand talk. Do I have a brand? Do you see me as some inauthentic guy that's constantly preening about my image or something? You know, somebody that, like, if you see the way that I act on live streams, you see the things I do, I'm not constantly preening my brand. I'm not tweeting out these, like, hashtags and, you know, like, at, you know, I don't want to name her, but people like Charlie Kirk, where it's obviously all, like, pre-written control tweets. It's not nothing with my brand. The point is, I am a representative, and whatever. I did inspire a lot of this stuff. You can't take that away from me. America First, optics. Where do you think this came from? You think this came out of a clear blue sky? I'm not going to take credit for the whole thing because it was people that just came up and asked questions. But clearly, there were people who watched my show inspired by this. And whether it's the media saying I'm a representative or a lot of the people saying I'm a representative or me saying, you know what? Yeah, I am a representative of this. The point is to say, as somebody who's the face of the Groipers or one of the faces or one of the thought leaders or cheerleaders, you could even say, whatever hurts your ego the least or, you know, doesn't harm the paranoia about branding or whatever, whatever you want to say, pointing out that they won't debate me is telling because it says, you know, you'll debate all these other people based on their ideas, but here's somebody who's obviously influential, obviously, you know, in some sense, inspiring this inquiry by young people. Why won't you engage that person? Why don't you even name that person? You know, Ben Shapiro did a whole speech about me, you know, so a saying is going up to like Ben Shapiro and saying, well, you didn't talk about, you talked about Nick Fuentes, but you didn't say his name. Why won't you just debate him? Is that about branding or is that responding to what he said and what they're trying to do and all the rest? People, I think, understand what you're getting at when we talk about me. It's not about promoting my show. I care less about self-promotion or the show. You know, whatever, ask away. I don't think, you know, all the things we've been stressing for 4 weeks, have I ever stressed, mention me, mention my show? I said that a few times because I think it is helpful, but the stress has always been ask well-written questions. You know, what to do if they, you know, try to cut you in line, whatever. But it's been, oh, promote my brand. So it's fuck off. You know, if that's the kind of tone. 2.5 years in the making, now everyone wants to say it's about branding. Give me a break. So you're banned. Second account says, was in line for questions, had my AF hat on, had Columbia Bugle question ready, had some legit Groipers in front of me, only to get overshadowed by Wignat's plants and so much cringe. We were completely outnumbered here. Sorry to disappoint, guys. Well, that's okay. Not much you could do about it at that point, but thanks for the big super chat. David says, hey, Nick, I was raised atheist, but now want to become a Christian, particularly a Catholic, but I'm intimidated by all of this, even though I feel the urge to submit to God. What do I do? Where do I start? Well, I'd start by going to church. Go to church. And I would start reading the Bible. I think that's the simplest thing. Maybe start talking to a spiritual advisor, maybe a priest, maybe somebody on, I don't know, somebody like classical theist is somebody who comes to mind, you know, somebody or maybe a Catholic you know who can help guide you. I think a personal relationship is very important, that you know somebody that's Catholic that knows what they're talking about. I start reading about it. I it's only intimidating until you do it, you know, until you go to church, until you just start reading the Bible or reading Catholic apologist type stuff or talking to somebody that's Catholic, some kind of advisor. But I definitely get a mentor, somebody like that involved, and then I just dive right in. I admit it is intimidating. There's a lot. It's a big subject matter. It's complicated. It's philosophy. It's history. It's theology. But, you know, you just got to start. I think people are very welcoming as Catholics and as Christians more broadly. Southern Dingo says, was literally just wishing you and the Groypers well and telling you we are behind you. Little quick on the trigger, dude. No, I don't think I'm quick on the trigger. Dr. Taylor Marshall says, no, I'm the real Dr. Taylor Marshall. I've emailed you an invite. Can't wait to talk. Well, I don't know who the real one is, but I'll respond to an email, I guess. Well, thanks for the super chat. ASDF says, my grandfather fought in Normandy and in the Battle of the Bulge. If alive today, he would politically align more with someone like Nick Fuentes. Why should we chastise heroes like my grandpa as extremists? That's not a bad question. But it looks like that's going to be our last one. So that's going to have to do it for us tonight. Sheesh, what a long evening, long show. Some cringe in the super chats, some cringe obviously in the Q&A, but not the end of the world. We'll have an event at Houston tomorrow. I'll try my best to stream as much of it as possible. I'll see if we can get somebody there to stream it. Maybe Jake Lloyd could go. We'll see about that. But do join us tomorrow on DLive for that stream. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters, people who watch the show, everybody involved. We love you, folks. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.